This is the NTT IndyCar Series. From Barber Motorsports Park in Birmingham, Alabama.
Beautiful venue, rolling hills. You know, put aside all the art sculptures and everything else. It's a challenge for us. Really kind of separates the men from the boys. Probably the most physical track that we go to, just due to the duration of the corner, how many G-forces we're pulling through the corners. We're probably three or four G-forces.
It just makes you feel like you're fighting like a lion.
With live flag-to-flag coverage, this is the IndyCar Radio Network.
May 1st for teams, drivers, and fans of the NTT IndyCar Series. Thoughts turn into laser focus because we are longing for a return to 16th and Georgetown in Indianapolis, home to the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500-mile race. However, pressing business needs our attention for now, the battle for the NTT Series title. Rinus VK grabbed his second career pole yesterday. Last year's pole sitter, Pato Award, joins him on the front row. Defending series champion and race winner Alex Palou lurks in their shadows. Question is, can anyone slow down the Penske juggernaut, winners of the first three races? Plenty of questions, and over the next 3 hours, we'll have the answers. This is the Honda Grand Prix of Alabama.
That's very high speed, very high downforce. It's actually probably the most physical track that we go to as a driver, just due to the duration of the corner, how many G-forces we're pulling through the corners. We're probably three or four G-forces for a very long time, and a couple of the toughest corners in motorsports with the undulations and just the characteristics of the corners. You typically see a lot of big incidents, I feel like, at that place from very minor mistakes from drivers.
All right, Barber Motorsports Park. It's the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama, and a bit of a just disjointed schedule to start things off. And we had hoped to, obviously, as we always do, have driver interviews right off the top. But because of the fact that Mother Nature intervened and we had a wet start, had to kind of switch things up a little bit, and the road to Indy going on right now, trying to get that race out of the way before we go racing a little bit later on today. We will set the stage for this race and have our pre-race festivities, chat with our driver analyst Davey Hamilton when we come back to Barber Motorsports Park. On to Indy Grand Prix of Alabama, Mark James, Davey Hamilton, really interesting front row, Davey, Rinus VK, last year's pole sitter, Pato Award, and as we mentioned off the top, last year's race winner, Alex Palou, joins Scott McLaughlin in row number two. Mother Nature, a lot of rain at Barber Motorsports Park. How much is that going to change conditions for these drivers during this race today?
You know, Mark, I really don't think they're going to have a huge difference. And the reason I say that, yes, the rain came. It's washed off some of that rubber, obviously. But it dried up at the end of that Indy Lights race. Even though they had the softer rain tires on those cars, Mark, it laid some rubber down. It made the track black again. And by the way, the F2000 cars are out there right now laying some more rubber down. So when these NTT, that IndyCar drivers get on track, I really feel it's going to be a lot of the same condition they felt throughout the weekend, which is going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, still some damp spots on that racetrack, but certainly not the conditions in which the Indy Lights Series started under. But all in all, I think for most, a trouble-free weekend, with the exception of Alexander Rossi. And, boy, I tell you what a job his team did getting his car put back together in about 90 minutes, and he'll roll off fifth after an outstanding qualifying run.
How impressive, Mark. We've been talking about Alexander Rossi. Man, he needs some luck. Just hasn't had the results for the last few years. Needs something. All of a sudden, what happened? He's the first one to have an issue. Hits that outside wall coming off the final corner 17. Does pretty massive damage to the left rear of that race car, having to change the gearbox, the engine, all the uprights, the bodywork. A lot of work. They turned that around in a couple hours. That entire team jumped on that car. He comes out, has a great qualifying run. Seems like he is on his way to rewrite the bad luck rule book. And we'll see what happens today. But sure, what a great job for a comeback for him.
From a pit strategy standpoint, either a two-stopper or a three-stopper, given there are 90 laps. Question is, in terms of the three-stopper, those that might be thinking of those terms, correct me if I'm wrong, Davey, Scott Dixon, who's starting 13th, Castro Neves starting 16th, Sato, a former winner here, certainly maybe Will Power, who's starting 19th.
Absolutely. Don't forget Simon Pagenaud, right, that 24th spot. They're going to need to go off a strategy. This racetrack is just too difficult to make that many positions up under green flag conditions. Too hard to pass here, too fast. And most of these corners would be able to make those moves. So, yes, why not? Go on a off strategy, try to do the three stopper, pray that the yellows come out for your, to help you out and not the other ones. But other than that, it's a pretty basic two stopper, Mark. You're the one that even said it. Majority of the times, the winners come from the front row and mostly the pole position. So that is the place that you want to be, in the front row of this event, and just hope that nothing happens, goes clean and green, and it's going to be hard to beat these front runners.
Not the traditional driver introductions, but drivers making their way out to the grid anyway. The road to Indy, as we mentioned, running a race right now, and a guy that came up through that ladder is with our Ryan Marine.
Yep, joined by Kyle Kirkwood here, making his first NTT IndyCar Series start here at Barber. When we woke up, there was a lot of rain coming down here in Birmingham, Kyle. It has dried up and the sun has come out. Are you relieved? Or would you have liked to see a little rain, given where you're starting?
I was hoping for the rain. Yeah. I really wanted it to keep raining, and I was watching it all morning. I was up early this morning, actually, before 6 a.m., like, come on, keep coming, and it just got to us a little too early for us to be a rain race. It's so tough to pass around here in the drive. I don't know if anyone watched that lights race, but there was a lot more passing going on when everyone had those wet tires on, and it dried out super fast for them. I was hoping for similar conditions, and we could have made some progress forward. But it's dry. This is what we're used to. There's no curveballs thrown at anyone, and hopefully we'll move forward with what we have.
Speaking to you yesterday, you kind of admitted the team's been chasing the setup somewhat here this weekend. That was, though, before the warm-up or the final practice yesterday. Did you guys find anything that gives you some hope that you can move forward today?
Honestly, the balance isn't much different. It wasn't much different than the warm-up, and we're actually quite confident with that balance that we have. We didn't change much from qualifying to warm-up, and we're not changing much from warm-up to the race. We feel like we're pretty solid in long race runs. But for some reason yesterday, we just didn't have that one lap pace that seemed like a lot of the other guys did. So hopefully it pays off for us, and later in the race, no one's done over 20 laps. You need to make a close to 30 laps on a stint here, and saw a lot of people yesterday in warm-up falling off on tires, so we'll see what happens.
It's a long race. It is hot. It is humid. And, this might be the most physical track that IndyCar goes to. You ready for this challenge?
I think so. We'll see what happens. I haven't felt it as too physical. I felt like St. Pete and Long Beach were probably a little bit more with all the kickbacks. But this place is heavy, and it's definitely warm out today with the sun beating.
Best of luck today.
Thank you.
That's Kyle Kirkwood.
I mean, Davey, he's not old enough to get tired, is he? Really?
No. that's one thing about youth, right? Right, Mark? Youth is always great. You don't know you're supposed to be getting tired. And definitely, there's a situation where he's ready. He's fit. He's young. They're in good racing shape, I call it. They don't have to go to the gym every day like the elder, the guys have been around a while. But, it's definitely a physically demanding track, but he'll be fine.
I don't want to put any pressure on him. And it obviously, it's not Texas Motor Speedway. But if anybody knows how to pass cars early, it's Kyle Kirkwood. Another guy that knows how to pass cars, get out front and stay out there, is Colton Herta, who's with Alex Wolf.
Walking along the pit lane with Colton Herta, and Colton lining up in the 10th starting position. At that, a rain forecast, and now it's sunny, it's heating up and humid. How do you feel the car setup is for this race?
I think we're fine either way. I kind of wish that it was wet, because I think it gave us more opportunity starting from 10th, or at least started wet. But we'll see. There's going to be a lot of interesting strategies between the two-stop and three-stop, and whether the used reds are going to hang on. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
You talk about the strategy with the reds versus the blacks. Is it something that you got to stay flexible with this race, with the conditions changing from what you thought, or is it sort of something that you get set in out of the chute?
No, I mean, you're ready for whatever. So, like I said, we got a really good car, and I thought we were going to be fine no matter what the conditions are, three-stop, two-stop. So we'll be ready for it.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look at the top 20, Davey, in terms of starting positions. Just a handful of those drivers starting on the blacks. Joseph Newgarden, Colton Herta, and Will Power among those starting on blacks.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's a bit of a question. Is it going to be the reds for the best tire today, or is it going to be the blacks? Right now, I think the situation, they feel like the reds are going to be starting on those blacks, getting those out of the way, Mark. Probably going on the scuffed reds next, and then going for the sticker reds to finish the race out is my guess is what they're going to do from the outside looking in. The other guy's a bit conservative. Let's just go with the Reds, see how long they last. See if they last the entire run. They're towards the front of the field. Hopefully it'll pan out. Then that again, those drivers in a situation where do we want the Reds at the very last stint or we want those Blacks in the last stint?
From a race strategist standpoint, are you happy with the fall off of those alternate red tires, or would you like to see maybe those fall off a little quicker just to help with the strategy?
Well, as a race strategist, I want my tires better than everybody else's, obviously, but I think it's good, Mark. I really like the having that softer red sidewall Firestone that just gives them a little more grip but then wears out quicker, and I think that it makes it fun for us. I think, you know, we have some push-to-pass that we play with. We have the red tire, you know, different tires that drivers could have on through different times throughout this race. I think it just brings an exciting race, and like I say, you never want to be on a set of blacks when somebody comes out on a fresh set of reds because you know you're going to lose that. That position. But on the good side of this is it is a strategy. It's something that you got to really try to play. Just put that much more element into the race to how you're going to win it.
Well, Davey, Battle for the Manufacturers Championship looks like it too is going to go down to the wire, just like the battle for the championship among the drivers. I mean, you look at the top seven, you've got a couple of Chevys on the front row, then you've got a Honda starting third, a Chevy fourth, a Honda fifth, and then a Chevy sixth, seventh, with Honda eighth, ninth, and tenth.
Yeah, really, you know, when you have four, five and five, it's pretty impressive, but the one that you want to be is that front row with those two Chevrolets with VK and Pato Ward in that front row. But you got to remember that Honda of Alex Plow, he started third last year. He was able to win this race, Mark. But then again, look who's right beside him, McLaughlin. He's been on fire this year. I mean, he won right out of the box. He's been strong every race we've been to, so you can't count him out either.
Well, speaking of the battle for the Manufacturers Championship, it's time for our HPD update. Here's Ryan Marine.
It's my pleasure to be joined by Rebecca Johnson, the Director of Production for HPD here at Barber Motorsports Park for our HPD engineering update. We'll start with the reigning champion, reigning race winner here in Barber. What a great season so far for Alex Palou.
Yeah, he's well within striking distance after qualifying, and we're really happy about that. He's in good shape, you know, actually going in for the whole season at this point in the point standing.
Hey, you look at his totals. He's already scored more points this year at this stage in the season than he did at his championship season a year ago.
Exactly. So we're really happy about that.
I can imagine. So also got to be happy with what the Andretti Autosport team had to do on Saturday just before qualifying. The big crash in practice, they had to turn that car around, and Alexander Rossi got that car in the Firestone Fast 6.
Yeah, and shout out to those guys that worked super hard on that. Shout out to the HPD folks that helped support that activity. We couldn't be more pleased with that effort, obviously, after that big hit in the wall there. So great job by them.
Huge weekend for all the teams as well as for Honda Performance Development. It is, of course, the Honda Grand Prix of Alabama. This has been your HPD engineering update.
Road to Indy on display at Barber Motorsports Park. One of the participants in that Road to Indy is with our Alex Wolf.
And that is Reese Gold, who won yesterday's Indy Pro 2000 race. And Reese, it was a weekend to forget in some ways at St. Pete, but great to rebound in a big way with a victory here at Barber yesterday.
Yeah, super happy. You know, St. Pete wasn't the best, so to get the points, I think we're fifth now in the points, so back in the fight, and it was just an awesome race. This track's so fun to drive, you know. So much elevation, just an awesome track, so really happy with the result.
17 years old from Miami, Florida. Maybe for the fans, maybe just hearing of you, what's maybe the road to Indy that Reese Gold had?
Started in Lucas Oil School Racing, won that. USF 2000 took third, now second year with Juncos, finished fifth last year and looking for a strong season this year.
And with this Juncos team, it was a big day for you with the win yesterday, the 11th place qualifying effort for Callum Ilott for the big IndyCar team. That's got to be just a big confidence booster with the success, not only with yesterday, but it's got to be big for you to be competing for a team that has the strong ties in a place where you want to get the NTT IndyCar Series.
Yep, it's awesome. I got first, my team, I got third. Callum, like you said, 11th. So super awesome to be racing with a team that has an IndyCar team as well, and just awesome to get a win for our team owners and boost our confidence before the big race here in a couple minutes.
And not just a time to rest on your laurels right now. After the IndyCar race, you have the fourth starting position for race two. And this is a big month. What, three races on the road course at IMS coming up in the middle of May?
Yeah, four should be good here. The outside's good here. And like you said, we did really good last year in IMS. So three races there. Hopefully get a couple more podiums, maybe some wins, and continue our fight for the championship.
Maurice Gold, it's great to talk to you. Congratulations on the win yesterday. Best of luck, not only today, but the rest of the season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Maurice Gold, the Indy Pro 2000 winner from yesterday, part of the Road to Indy here at Barber Motorsports Park.
Good stuff, Alex Wolf, and thanks to Diane Swintall, one of the best at what she does for sure, for securing that interview. And we'll hear from all of the Road to Indy participants all throughout the course of this season. We will go trackside for pre-race festivities when we return to Barber Motorsports Park. Couple of minutes away from going trackside for pre-race festivities. Speaking of the Road to Indy, speaking of the future, let's look back into the past a little bit, Davey Hamilton. A name that we're all familiar with and a family you know very well. The next generation gets to victory lane in the race that just wrapped up.
Yeah, how about that? Jagger Jones, grandson of Parnelli Jones, son of PJ Jones, was able to get his first win in that race. So hats off to Jagger. Good job to him. His brother Jace as well, coming up through the ranks. Both trying hard to get to where their father and grandfather did in motorsports. And looks like he's getting the job done.
Boy, I tell you, what a thrill it is. And we've done it for a number of years now. How cool is it for fans and for us as broadcasters to be able to see the entire Road to Indy on display at a racetrack in one weekend?
You know, I love that, Mark. And in this racetrack, there's been racing and cars on track ever since Wednesday. And it really started in the divisions trying to get into the Road to Indy and then from the Road to Indy into IndyCar. So it's very important for these young drivers to be able to come and see what it takes to become an IndyCar driver, to come here and see, you know, their heroes and see and improve themselves in front of these IndyCar drivers. And so it's really a good opportunity.
And a great opportunity. And the nice thing is, of the 26 drivers that we see on the grid today, there's a fair amount of those drivers that all of us have had the honor and privilege to call as they further their career along the Road to Indy, landing eventually in the NTT IndyCar Series. Well, first race here was in 2010. Time for race number 12 here at Barber Motorsports Park. Let's go trackside.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we ask that you please rise and remove your hats as the Ramsey High School Army JROTC presents our nation's colors. Please remain standing as Tim Tebow offers this afternoon's invocation.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for another day. We thank you that you're in charge. We thank you that rain or shine, that we can celebrate because of what you did on the cross and defeating death on the greatest rescue mission of all time for us, because you love us. We love you because you first love us. And also, let us love one another by choosing each other's best interests and acting on their behalf. We thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do in us and through us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here today to honor America with the singing of our national anthem, please welcome Birmingham's own Maria Keener.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Still there. star-spangled banner yet wave. O'er the lands of the free and the home of the brave.
Today's flyover, courtesy of the 37th Flying Training Squadron, based at Columbus Air Force Base. We pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the IndyCar Radio Network. 2.3 miles in length, 17 turns, 7 left, 10 right. We need some help calling it. We've got three of the best in the business doing just that for us today. High atop the entrance to the Alabama roller coaster, we welcome in Michael Young.
Indeed, Mark Janes, a good afternoon to you, and this is my kind of roller coaster. Turn one here at Barber Motorsports Park. A lot different than when we got here this morning for that Indy Lights race. The sun is out, the track is dry, and we are ready to go racing. I will see them come down that front straightaway and make that left-hander about a 30-foot drop into turn number two, and then a right-hander. They'll continue down into turn number three, and it is an extremely tight turn. About 120 degrees is turn number three. The key is to get back on the throttle at the exit of turn number three. They'll climb back up the hill into turn number four. This is one of the most thrilling parts of this Barber Motorsports Park course. The fans are in droves here, lighting the hillside. They've brought their tents. They've brought their coolers. They've braved the elements, and they are ready to go. Mark, what a beautiful day today. Looking forward to this action as the Indy cars get ready to go. As the field exits turn number four, it's a tight drive down to Charlotte's Web, where they will come to the view of our very own Nick Yeoman. Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon, Michael. We are high above pit lane here at Barber Motorsports Park, looking down at the drivers getting set to climb in those vehicles to go racing. You mentioned it, a lot of speed as they crest the hill through turn number four before they get down to Charlotte's Web. Why do we call it Charlotte's Web? Well, there's a giant statue of a spider as well as a web carved into the grass that Mr. Barber has put. It is one of the best passing points on this racetrack. Turn five, it's a double apex, 180 degrees to the left. It's one of the best passing points. There's gray and white curbing to the inside of the corner and grass and gravel to the outside. We'll see them get two wide. The start of this race, we may even see them get three wide down there as well. They'll accelerate out of turns five and six for another short straightaway before they head to jQuery. But I got to be honest with you guys, I'm up here with hundreds of race fans, and I've always wanted to do this. Hey, guys, make some noise if you're excited for some IndyCar racing. Yeah! Yeah, we're going to have some fun. Jake, how is it there in turns eight and nine?
Well, Nick, I'll tell you what. The race fans in Alabama, I was mentioning yesterday, it's so funny to think about when IndyCar first came to Barber Motorsports Park, and there was that question of how is it going to acclimate within NASCAR country. The answer resoundingly is that this is one of the best stops on the circuit, no question about it. Not only because of the fans where you are, but also the museum area that this racetrack goes around. When the drivers take the right-hander that is turn number eight, they then all of a sudden have that elevation change that sets themselves up. You'll hear me say it probably every time they come through because it is so visual, that long sweeping, as I call it, right-hander that is turn number nine. It's about a 90-foot elevation change all told by the time they get to the bottom of turn number nine. And then suddenly it's a straightaway that leads to a slight kink that is turn number 10 and then a righty that becomes a bend into turn number 11. That area of the racetrack was very wet, puddling water, as a matter of fact, just before the lights race this morning, but it is cleared out now, dry and gorgeous in here in Birmingham, or outside of Birmingham, Alabama. So a lot of fun it's going to be to watch today, Mark, as these cars try to negotiate this area, because as we know, when you go into that turn, you get too much speed going into it, all of a sudden you could find yourself in that gravel area just outside the turn. Happens to the best of the best. Marcus Ericsson fell victim to it yesterday, so it's going to be a lot of fun to watch over the course of today.
Guys, we're absolutely thrilled to have you all with us. Look forward to your call today. Davey, we'll pick it up from there. From 11 to 12 is an 1,100-foot straightaway, not necessarily a passing zone. Then from 12 to 17, it's very, very challenging. It's not quite a carousel because there is a little straightaway built in there, but boy, it can be a very unforgiving portion of the racetrack, and guys and gals need to maintain their patience because if they do and get a clean exit off of 17, that long front straightaway is the reward.
Yeah, you know what, Mark? Looking at the track, Mac, sure looks easy. It really does look easy when going around it, but the elevation changes is what makes this track so unique. And as you said, you turn coming off that long back straightaway, the super fast left-hander turn 12. You don't even have to shift down. Some of the guys may be going down to fifth, but some of them go through sixth. But the turn 13, it loads the car so hard. It's the bottom of that crest that you're getting ready to go over into turn 14. Completely blind. Can't see where you need to be in turn 14, by the way, Mark. And the car is super light as it comes over that hill. You need to be careful not to put left sides off in turn 4 or 14. But going through turn 15 and 16, Mark, the car is just kind of floating around. Not a lot of grip. Just it's what we call it in yaw. Just doesn't have a really lot of traction or grip. And so you're just playing with the throttle and the steering and trying to manipulate that car through that corner until you get on the bottom side, turn 16, Mark. And then the 17 is pretty easy, you'd think, but a lot of incidents coming off of turn 17 on this front straightaway. So even though it looks easy, it's not.
Well, what's the elevation change? How pronounced is it? Well, how about 80 feet of elevation changes? You know, it's not as obvious as you see at some other racetracks. Perhaps the most obvious place, I think, Davey, would be coming off of turn number 3 and cresting that hill into turn number 4. I would imagine that even though we saw issues there for Joseph Newgarden on the opening lap last year, I would think as the run progressed, and the grip falls away and that car gets lighter, that's where you really notice it.
It really is, because the car, you're going such high speed, you're wide open going through the gears up that hill, and like you say, cannot see the apex or the exit point of that corner, so you're just kind of guessing at it. You're shooting the car up there, you hope there's nothing up above there, like last year Joseph Newgarden being sideways, the car's behind, can't even see him when he's sideways in the track. And you're right, super light on top of that hill, wants to do some wheel spinning, and you just got to be cautious, especially these first few laps on cold tires.
Well, most of the field starting on reds, the fuel strategy says, Davey, that window opens up at around lap 29. You think those reds are going to hold up that long?
You know, that's the question, right, Mark? I know we had rain this morning, but now the heat, it's dry. The heat's back out. I think they're going to see the speeds we've seen yesterday. These leaders want to make sure those tires last till then. They were going to try to do that two-stop strategy, but they do need it. It's a small pit window, Mark. Usually, you know, we get some pit windows that are pretty wide on these two stops that give you four or five laps, but no, this is either 29 to 31. I mean, it's a small pit window, so they need to, if they're going to do the two-stop strategy, they're praying that those reds are going to hang on.
Boy, a 2.3-mile course, you better time your pit stop just right, because you could lose a lot of track position. So, just about ready to go trackside. We're just about ready to start here at Barber Motorsports Park.
It's time for the most famous words in motorsports. Here to give the command, please welcome the Grand Marshal, Heisman Trophy winner, and college football legend, Tim Tebow.
Drivers, start your engines!
Tim Tebow also takes a ride in the fastest seat in sports to start the race today. Let's meet the starting lineup now for the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama, presented by AM First.
Here's today's NTT IndyCar Series starting lineup. Row 13.
Jimmy Johnson, United States.
Tatiana Calderon, Colombia.
Row 12.
Simon Pagenaud, France.
Dalton Kellett, Canada.
Row 11.
Connor Daly, United States.
Kyle Kirkwood, United States.
Row 10.
Devlin DeFrancesco, Canada.
Will Power, Australia.
Row 9.
David Malukas, United States.
Takuma Sato, Japan.
Row 8.
Helio Castroneves, Brazil.
Jack Harvey, United Kingdom.
Row 7.
Christian Lundgaard, Denmark.
Scott Dixon, New Zealand.
Row 6.
Marcus Ericsson, Sweden.
Callum Ilott, United Kingdom.
Row 5.
Colton Herta, United States.
Graham Rahal, United States of America.
Row 4.
Romain Grosjean, France.
Joseph Newgarden, United States.
Row 3.
Felix Rosenquist, Sweden.
Alexander Rossi, United States.
Row 2.
Scott McLaughlin, New Zealand.
Alex Bellow, Spain.
On the outside of row 1.
Patricio Ward, Monterrey, Mexico.
And starting on the pole.
Rinus VK, the Netherlands.
Let's find out what our pit reporters will be following today in terms of stories. We'll start first with Alex Wolf.
Well, in my section of pit lane, the first three boxes I'll be covering, two very different emotions. Pato O'Ward, top five finish at Long Beach. They had jump-started his season. He's been feeling good all weekend. He starts on the outside of the front row. Rinus VK was fast right off the truck, feeling good. He said the last time he felt like that, last May at the GP at Indianapolis, where he won. And then there's Scott Dixon, nine times on the podium here at Barber in 11 races, has never won, and he was absolutely miffed after a 13th place qualifying effort, didn't even make it out of the first round of qualifying yesterday. He'll look to move up through the field. More stories further up the pit lane. Let's go to Ryan Marine.
Thanks so much, Alex. Here on my section, I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that redemption arc for Alexander Rossi. It all began yesterday in the second practice of the weekend, a hard crash that necessitated that Andretti Autosport team changing not just the gearbox, but the engine at the back of that number 27 Napa and AutoNation Honda. Then he promptly turned around and stuck that car in the Firestone Fast 6 in qualifying. Still, one more chapter to be written in that redemption arc, and it happens here in just a few moments, here under sunny skies, 72 degrees. Alex promised us after qualifying yesterday, it's not going to rain. It did this morning, but he was right. No rain here in the NTT IndyCar Series race. The field already out on formation laps, and Mark, we are about ready to go.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Alex. Looks forward to your contributions throughout the course of this day. Let's go around the course one more time. Michael Young, we should have handed you a whistle so you could play traffic cop, because when you clear the apex at turn number one, you might be blended in with some cars coming off of pit road. That's an interesting place you're watching today.
It certainly is. And with the drivers not only exiting pit row and blending in with the rest of the field, we've got opportunities to potentially pass if you get a good run out of that final turn 17. Not an optimum passing corner, but still an opportunity. And of course, that good run off of turn number three and up through turn number four, that will take them down to Charlotte's Web and where Nick Yeoman is. Mark, it's always a thriller. What a beautiful day. Getting ready to go here at Barber Motorsports Park.
To Charlotte's Web and Nick Yeoman.
And Mark, we're seeing the rear of the field make their way through turns five and six. Some interesting stories to keep an eye on. Simon Pagenaud did not qualify. Will Power is going to start towards the back in row number 10. Scott Dixon missed out advancing in the first round of qualifying yesterday. So, Jake Query, let's be honest, there are some heavy hitters towards the back of the field. We'll see if they can find their way to march their way through the front of the field.
Simon Pagenaud among those that you're talking about. Takuma Sato, Elio Castroneves is the field. Has worked their way through turn number nine, that long elevation. It's the back of the field. Jimmy Johnson, the rear of the field, bringing them up through there as they work their way now into turn number 10 and turn number 11. Mark, we're about to go racing here in Alabama. No doubt about it. As we look around the course, Davey Hamilton, for all of those people that sought shelter during the earlier races in which we got rain, boy, they have all shown up in mass. And again, the sold out side at Barber Motorsports Park both yesterday and today.
Yeah, you know, just looking down on pit lane, Mark, it showed us everything, right? I mean, it was jam-packed on pit lane. You know, I noticed, you know, as we know, we line our cars up differently than we have done in the past, being angled off of the pit wall. And, man, there was no room. I mean, it was great to see all these fans. I'm looking out right now. The staircase ways are packed. Everybody's packed against the windows up here in the booth. Man, what a great day. And I'm looking across this beautiful greenery here at Barber Motorsports Park and just see chalets and the hillside full. And it's a great day.
Going to be interesting to watch that front row, see it unfold, Davey. Those are a couple of guys in Rinus VK and Pato O'Ward who know how to make those elbows plenty wide in terms of whether or not they're going to give up any room.
Yeah, exactly right. And the first thing you don't want to do is, you know, to turn one, as we talked about, super high speed, very little braking, maybe shift down into fifth before you get to it. But most of these drivers are holding six through there just with a little bit of lift. They do not want to make contact because, you know, the guy that won this race last year, Alex Palou, he's stalking right behind him in that third spot. If they push each other wide, he could go right to lead. So I foresee it being a good start. I'm sure they've talked to each other. That is VK and Award, how they want to do this start just to make sure that they don't make any mistakes.
Sometimes patience is not a virtue, but I got to say, with Alex Belleau, the defending series champion, Davey, even last year, he impressed me with his patience.
He has so much patience and such talent. I mean, you think he's a multi-time veteran, and he just does such a good job. And you don't see him make hardly any mistakes at all as we're getting ready to come around for the green, Mark.
Well, the formation as they make their way off the final couple of turns, and we will get off of turn number 17. And it looks like, Davey, race control not happy with the formation and the yellow flags flying. They're going to make them go one more time around.
Yeah, I think the situation there was just some of the back of the field wasn't aligned yet. They just weren't quite there. Matter of fact, the front straightaway is full right now. So what they want to see is as much nose to tail, and that is back at turns 12 and 13, Mark. They want to see those cars all stacked up back there, not just as they come on the front straightaway. As you know, it's a straightaway here, but not super long. You cannot get all cars on this front straightaway before the green comes out.
So we mentioned some of the drivers that we expect to eventually be in contention. 13th place running Scott Dixon, 16th place running Elio Castroneves, Takuma Sato with 17th, Will Power starting 19th, Simon Pagenaud all the way back in 24th. Okay, Davey, among those guys, who do you think is the most likely candidate that over the last segment of the race we could look up a timing, a score, and see him in the top 10?
Well, I'm going to have to go with somebody I think is very hungry. Both his teammates have won races this year. Matter of fact, they're the only people that have won races this year, Mark, and that's going to be Will Power. I think that he's hungry. He needs to have some results as well. We're so used to seeing him. I mean, he's been on the pole here so many times. Now we see him way back there in that 19th spot. I really think that he has something and a lot of determination to get towards the front of this field.
Well, from a consistency standpoint, he's gotten off to a pretty good start, Davey. He's only 16 points back in fourth place right now.
Yeah, no, that's right. And he wants to continue that, but it's not he cannot qualify as far back as he has at this event throughout this season. So he knows he needs to make up some time to stay in that early points hunt.
Well, we can see, Davey, on our monitors off at turn number 12, they got the message from race control.
There they go.
That's where they started to form up for sure. They're up to 14 now, and they look pretty good back through the first eight or nine rows.
This is going to be a green this time by Mar for sure.
So again, Rinus VK, Pato Award, Alex Belleau, Scott McLaughlin, the top four, and the field is pretty tightly bunched. And boy, I tell you what, this is a great looking formation as the green flag flies and the Honda Grand Prix of Alabama roars into turn number one with Rinus VK in the lead.
And VK will hold point. Pato Award right behind him. Then it's the machine of Scott McLaughlin able to make up a little ground. Rinus VK, the field clean through turn number four.
Rinus the Rocket got a great start across the start-finish line. He'll lead him down into turn number five. Alex Belleau, Scott McLaughlin going wheel-to-wheel for the third spot. Looks like one of the former points leaders, Scott McLaughlin. He's going to take that third spot. Everybody clean, Jake, out of Charlotte's Web.
Alex Belleau would like to get that third spot back, but not able to close in on Scott McLaughlin as they set up for turn number nine. Again, Rinus VK is the leader. He's got about a two-car length advantage over Pato Award.
Really impressive start for Rinus VK. Same for Pato Award, same for Scott McLaughlin. Davey, he was able to pick off Alex Belleau.
Nice run on the outside from McLaughlin. Watch him going down to turn one. Everybody would shoot towards the bottom. He took that outside groove and made up some time.
So Rinus VK, Pato Award, McLaughlin, Belleau, and Rossi the top five. Rosenquist, Newgarden, Grosjean, Rahal, and Herta the top ten. On the move early is Callum Ilott. He's plus three along with Jack Harvey, Devlin DeFrancisco. He picked up a couple of spots on the start, Michael Young.
Everybody trying to settle in, and Rinus VK already a five-car length advantage over Pato Award, then McLaughlin, then Alex Belleau, Alexander Rossi. Single file all the way through the back of the field. Already through turn number four to Charlotte's Web comes our leader, Rinus VK.
It's that black and white and red car of Rinus VK leads him through Charlotte's Web. He's got about a five-car length advantage. Then it's Pato Award. He can't really shake Scott McLaughlin. He's about three car lengths back, further back. Will Power already starting to make some passes. Leaders into turn number eight.
Joseph Newgarden was the highest starting car on primary black tires. It might have cost him a little bit at the start. Gave up three spots. He'll try to make up for that in the end on a longer run, perhaps, on those tires. The leader, Rinus VK, with a six-car length advantage.
Always hold our breath into turn number one, Davey. Then hold our breath again through that 5-6 Charlotte's Web area so far. Pretty clean race.
Yeah, really clean race. Everybody minded their P's and Q's and really good start. And they're all staying nose to tail. Nobody is pulling away at this point. Now, Where's it going to be on these reds and black tires? As you said, the first car on the black standard tires, a little bit harder, is Newgarden in that 10th position. Right behind him, Colton Herta in 11th. The rest, all the cars in front of them are on the softer red compounds. We'll just see how long they can hold their speed.
Rinus VK with the lead about 9-tenths of a second over Pottawa Ward to Charlotte's Webb.
They'll make their way down towards turn at number 5. Rinus VK's advantage, about 4 or 5 car lengths. Pottawa Ward, the Mexican drivers, close up a little bit. The battle continues to be good for third. Scott McLaughlin by about 3 or 4 car lengths, Jake, as Alex Pillow, the IndyCar champ, gives chase to turn 8.
Yeah, they work their way now, setting up for turn at number 9. As a matter of fact, VK is going to use that speed that comes from that spiral. He's going to extend out to about a half a car length, but then when they work their way setting up for turn number 10, that's where all of a sudden Pato tries to get that gap back. Again, VK about a 5 car length advantage over Pato O'Ward.
Front two have checked out a little bit, Davey, but Alex Pillow wants that third spot back from McLaughlin. He's giving it a good run.
Yeah, he is. Actually, you know, as we mentioned right off, he tried to make that move down to turns 5, 4, and 5. McLaughlin wasn't having any of it. Didn't give him any extra room whatsoever. Almost had contact, actually. But right now, he's giving him all he had. Pillow definitely wants that spot back.
Battle for third sets up for turn number 1 as McLaughlin and Pillow, Michael Young.
Yeah, Scott McLaughlin about 3 car length advantage over Alex Pillow. And this is the part of the race course where Scott McLaughlin shines. That exit into turn number 3 and through turn number 4. 5 car lengths for McLaughlin.
Yeah, those two were side by side on the opening lap. It was McLaughlin who now has the third spot, going the long way around our IndyCar champ, Alex Pillow. It stays at about 3 or 4 car lengths. Another 5 back to Alexander Rossi, who holds down, Jake, that final spot in the top 5.
This was the race where Alex Pillow really announced what he planned on doing last season, winning, of course, at Barber, going on to become the season champion. Now, he's trying to close back in that third place spot on Scott McLaughlin. He's got about 3 car lengths to make up as they work their way through turn number 11.
Lap 5 complete this time by, it's Rinus VK, Pato O'Ward, Scott McLaughlin, Alex Pillow, and Alexander Rossi through position 5. Rosenquist is 6th, Grosjean is 7th, Callum Ilott is 8th, Graham Rahal is 9th, Joseph Newgarden completes the top 10. VK has bumped it up to about a 1 second lead. O'Ward trying to keep pace. Alexander Rossi sees his mirror as Michael Young start to fill up Felix Rosenquist. That'll be the battle for 5th in front of you.
Yeah, Alexander Rossi, of course, his struggles this race weekend and how he shined, how this team shined. Alexander Rossi has 5th. Felix Rosenquist would like it. Rossi with about a 4 car length advantage into Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, as the front 4 get away, you start to look for those other battles. The battle for 5th between Rossi and Rosenquist is good. I think Callum Ilott's having a hard time holding off Graham Rahal. Rahal about 3 car lengths behind him. That's the battle for 8th. But everybody evenly spaced, Jake, into turn number 8.
Yeah, really good eye there on that Ilott and Graham Rahal battle, because Rahal now, all of a sudden, with Callum Ilott trying to reel him in, he's got Joseph Newgarden on his rear wing. So again, this battle is pretty good. Ilott running 8th, then it's Rahal, Newgarden, and then Colton Herta.
Behind Newgarden is Colton Herta, as Jake said, and now Jack Harvey starting to get a little racy, Davey. He desperately needs a good finish. He's currently running 12th.
Yeah, Harvey has had the luck. Matter of fact, had to miss a race because of a heavy hit he took in Texas Motor Speedway in practice, had to miss that race, and he definitely would like to see some results. Obviously, switching from a team that he started with in this series, thought we'd stay there forever, moving over to the Rahal Letterman Lanigan team, and yeah, he would like to see some good results.
Front 7 now have started to distance themselves a little bit, Davey. Pretty surprised at the spacing, or did you expect things to be a little racier this early?
No, I think that's exactly what we intended and expected. No sense making any big risk. The drivers are trying to figure out, okay, where are our cars? Where's the balance? They'll figure out the difference of the balance between the start of this run and the end. Fuel loads are going to be down. Tires are going to be a little bit wore out. They'll be able to communicate that with their teams. But right now, I think they're just taking care of what they have, figuring out what changes they need to make at their first pit stop, and then just go from there.
7 laps complete next time by VK, O'Ward, McLaughlin, Pillow, Rossi, the top 5. Rosenquist 6th, Grosjean 7th, Ilott is 8th. 9th is Graham Rahal, 10th is Joseph Newgarden, 11th Colton Herta, 12th Jack Harvey, 13th Marcus Ericsson, 14th Christian Lundgaard, 15th Scott Dixon, 16th Takuma Sato, Elio Castroneves 17th, Devlin DeFrancesco 18th, Will Power 19th, David Malukas 20th, 21st, Kirkwood 22nd, Pagano 23rd, Kellett 24th, Daly 25th, Johnson and 26th, Tatiana Calderon. It's time now to learn a little bit more about one of our NTT IndyCar Series drivers. Dalton Kellett takes a hot lap with Jake Query.
This 90-second hot lap is with Dalton Kellett. Let's get right to it here. Have you ever met somebody that actually made you starstruck?
I don't think so. No, not really.
Anybody ever been starstruck by you?
I was at Upland Brewery recently getting some food with my fiance and her dad, and this little kid ran up and he was like, "Oh my God, are you Dalton Kellett?" And he was like a huge IndyCar fan. It was like it blew his mind, and we were like out, you know, getting dinner. It was just really neat to see this kid and his brother kind of lose their minds over seeing.
Who was your racing hero when you were a kid?
Kimi Räikkönen.
Which social media app do you most frequently use?
Instagram.
Who would play you in a movie?
I've been told I look like so many people. I don't know.
If you were going to be an Olympic athlete and racing was not one of the Olympic sports, which sport would you be?
Downhill skiing.
Okay. Do you have a favorite sports team aside from, of course, any race team?
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Do you have a favorite holiday besides Christmas?
Canadian Thanksgiving.
Canadian Thanksgiving. And that's different than the American
it's
Thanksgiving,
in October.
I guess. Okay, fair enough. Lastly, do you enjoy driving when you're not at the racetrack?
I enjoy like road trips and like long trips like that, if we're going climbing or nature or you know, something like that.
Especially if it's Canadian Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Yeah, but not 465. Don't enjoy 465.
Fair enough. Dalton Kellett, your hot lap is up.
Today's race is brought to you by Firestone, the official tire of the NTT IndyCar Series for driving IndyCar legends. American Medical Response, official partner of the NTT IndyCar Series and the AMR IndyCar Safety Team. Ruoff Mortgage, for a fast mortgage process, apply online at ruoff.com. And by NTT, the official technology and title partner of the NTT IndyCar Series.
IndyCar Radio wants to thank these stations for carrying today's race. KMBY in Monterey, California. WLWE in Roanoke, Alabama. WCSI in Columbus, Indiana. 10 of 90 laps complete. Three-stop strategy starting to reveal itself. Marcus Ericsson among those coming to pit road. Big win today for Linus Lundqvist in the Indy Lights race. Just before this one, Ryan Marine has him.
Yeah, exactly so. As a couple more drivers peel off into the pit lane, Scott McLaughlin, who was running up towards the front, comes in, among others. We'll get to those in a second, but right now I'm joined by Linus Lundqvist, a winner in the Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires earlier today in a conditions that were wet to start, dry at the finish, and you had a race on your hands with your teammate coming to the checkered flag.
Yeah, that was one hell of a race. You know, it was probably one of the tightest and most difficult races I've done, where, like you said, it started off wet and it was looking like a full wet race. But then with some 15 laps to go, the track started to dry out, and we know that when it starts to dry out around this place, it goes pretty quickly. So it was just about looking after your tires and made sure that you had something left in them in the final few laps. And my teammate gave me a good run for my money, but we were able to haul them off and get away with a win. So yeah, it's been a great day.
McLaughlin, Jack Harvey, and Elio Castroneves, by the way, in and out. They leave on sticker reds. It looks like Colton Herta will be pitting here in a few moments. We're joined by Indy Lights points leader Linus Lundqvist here in the pit lane. Linus, that was a second win for you here at Barber. We were chatting at the podium. You like this place. This has been good to you in your career, not just in the road to Indy, but before as well.
Yeah, you're right. It seems like every year that we've come here, we've at least won one race, which is nice. And we kept that up this year, which was good. And it's something about this. I mean, just driving through the gates in the morning, you know, it's a different atmosphere and it's like a roller coaster. So, yeah, happy to be able to get away with a good result. And, you know, the team just showed up with a good car. So I did my part and I couldn't do it without them.
Colton Herta leaving the pits. He goes out on sticker reds as well. Final question for you, Linus. You're watching two of your countrymen, Marcus Ericsson and Felix Rosenqvist, here in the NTT IndyCar Series. How desperate are you to join them as a third Swede on the grid looking ahead to next year?
That's my goal in the life. So, I'm doing my best, and I think the best way of trying to get there is to win races, and I think that's what we did today. So, but, you know, it's a long year, and the target is the championship, and hopefully we can make it three Swedish people in IndyCar next year.
Linus, thank you so much for the time. Congrats on the big win today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's go to Nick Yeoman.
Yeah, from the vantage point I have, I can watch a couple of these pit stops that you mentioned. A really, really bad one for Kyle Kirkwood's team, that Rocket AJ Foyt team. They came in. It was a four-tire stop, but they could not get the right front tire secured, and they waited, Mark, I want to say an extra 25, 30 seconds. So it's been a rough weekend already for the rookie Kyle Kirkwood. Just got a lot worse on that first pit stop.
Updates from Pit Road brought to you by Speedway, the official fuel and convenience store of IndyCar. Okay, Davey, here's the roll call that we have. Herta, Harvey, McLaughlin, Erickson, Newgarden, Kirkwood, Daly, and Elio Castroneves among those who are on the three-stop strategy, it appears.
Yeah, that's exactly what it appears to have right there. Grosjean. He's 13.
Grosjean's in there too.
Yeah, Grosjean's in there as well. So it's going to be interesting. Now, a lot of these teams are going to take that gamble, especially the front runners. Although McLaughlin, you know, he decided I'm going to go a different direction here and try a different strategy. So we'll see how that plays out.
So 13 of 90 laps complete. Rinus VK is your leader. Pottle Award is second. Scott McLaughlin is third. Alex Palou is fourth. Alexander Rossi is fifth. Rosenquist, Ilott, Ray Hall, Christian Lundgaard, and Scott Dixon through 10th. Takuma Sato is 11th. Devlin DeFrancesco is 12th. And Will Power is 13th. David Malukas is 14th. 15th is Simon Pagenaud. 16th, Dalton Kellett. 17th, Jimmy Johnson. 18th, Tatiana Calderon. Now, these drivers have stopped. 19th running, Joseph Newgarden. 20th, Roman Grosjean. 21st, Colton Herta. 22nd, Jack Harvey. 23rd, Marcus Ericsson, the first one to stop, in fact. 24th, Elio Castroneves. 25th, Connor Daly. And Kyle Kirkwood. Let's go to Michael Young.
Kyle Kirkwood, I just checked that, Romain Grosjean, and it was Colton Herta. Colton came in, and it looked like Grosjean was trying to get around him, forced Colton Herta to the right side. Colton did a magnificent job, Nick, nearly lost it into the exit of turn number one, but held on.
And that battle is in front of Nick Yeoman now as they exit turn number five.
Yeah, it was actually Colton Herta was trying to make a pass on Romain Grosjean down the front straightaway, and it got awful tight down there in turn number one. It looks like everything sorted itself out. Jake, Romain Grosjean able to hold that spot over Colton Herta.
Yeah, Herta's going to try to get it back through turn number nine. This is the battle technically for the 20th position, but keep in mind different fuel strategies. Now Herta is right on the rear wing through turn number 10. Mark, he's going to try hard, pop to the outside to get that position back. Colton Herta completes the pass of Romain Grosjean.
That's a strong run in that short straightaway. That's not a very long straightaway to make a pass like that, Davey.
Well, that's the difference between the red sidewall softer tires Colton Herta has on to his teammate, Romain Grosjean. He has the standard black, the harder tire. That just tells you how much more speed are in those red sidewall tires. Colton is flying, made that mistake, was still able to catch up to him and pass him on the same lap. Now we'll have to see how long those reds are going to last for Colton.
And Michael,
see if Grosjean can catch back up.
Michael Young, let's go back to you for a recap. I mean, let's face it, Colton's very, very lucky that that is actually asphalt to driver's right just past the apex of that turn number one. He did not get into the kitty litter at all.
No, he didn't. Actually, those right sides hit that grass, but there is a huge asphalt area before the kitty litter. He was able to whoa that car and get it back under the control and then enter turn number two without losing much ground. I will say, though, and we talked about these blacks and reds, Joseph Newgarden started the race on blacks, and he came out on reds. Romain Grosjean was running seventh, and Newgarden has passed Romain Grosjean. So when this cycle's through, Joseph Newgarden could be sitting in the catbird seat, guys.
3-second lead, Davey, for Rinus VK. Clearly, he has a very fast race car, as he's had all weekend long.
How about that? I mean, so impressive. Impressive with that speed he's got. Super, super fast. And I mean, Holt has good composure. And man, right now, with a 3-second lead, he has things well in hand.
More on the run by our pole sitter from Alex Wolf.
And Varinas VK, not a lot of talk from the driver of the 21 car on the radio, but a lot of coaching from his strategist, Brent Harvey, as right from when that start got waved off initially, told him to save fuel, try to hit the fuel number, save the tires, and a reminder periodically that if the handling is starting to slip away a little bit, a reminder that he can adjust on those rear bars.
Alexander Rossi and Felix Rosenquist are trying to keep pace with Alex Palou, and they're not having a lot of luck doing that. You'll notice that all of those guys are trailing Scott McLaughlin, Michael Young, as they head back to turn two.
Yeah, everything's starting to fall off for these Reds. Roman Grosjean, we look at the machines of Alexander Rossi, Felix Rosenquist, and you as mentioned. Nick, as they make their way out, I think they're just finishing this stint, trying to keep his position as they stand right now.
Well, a lap ago, Rosenquist and Rossi very nearly crashed as Rosenquist got to the inside in turn number five, but just couldn't get that car to rotate on the inside of the corner to get around Alexander Rossi. But you're right, you're starting to see the pace, Jake, fall off with some of these front runners.
And then right behind that area, it's Callum Ilott, who we talked about. He is trying to keep Rosenquist in sight. Felix Rosenquist running in sixth, just behind Alexander Rossi. Then that battle between Ilott and Rahal has settled out just a little bit. Rahal, three car lengths behind Callum Ilott.
Davey, any chance any of these drivers that are on this two-stop strategy, a little panic has set in when they see how guys like, you know, Herta and them are able to run after getting those fresh Firestones?
Well, Herta is one of them on those Reds, but I'll assure you their engineers are going to say, okay, how much time has he lost by coming in and making that stop, and how much time is he going to gain on racetrack with those? So that's going to be very interesting. And yes, they will watch that. But, you know, when you got to, you know, you got to remember, Colton has to make two more stops just as they do now as well. So we'll see if it all plays out.
Give you a full field rundown. We'll complete 19 laps next time by. Rinus VK is your leader by 2.4 seconds over Padua Ward. McLaughlin is third. Palou is fourth. Alexander Rossi is fifth. Felix Rosenquist is sixth. Callum Ilott is seventh. Graham Rahal is eighth. Christian Lundgaard is ninth. Scott Dixon is 10th. Takuma Sato is 11th. Devlin DeFrancesco is up to 12th. Will Power is 13th. David Malukas is 14th. 15th, Simon Pagenaud. 16th, Jimmy Johnson. Joseph Newgarden is 17th. Herta, 18th. Tatiana Calderon is 19th. Roman Grosjean is 20th. Harvey is 21st. Erickson is 22nd. Castro Neves is 23rd. Dalton Kellett is 24th. Connor Daly is 25th. And Kyle Kirkwood a lap down in 26th. Drivers on the three-stop strategy for now. Newgarden, Herta, Roman Grosjean, Jack Harvey, Marcus Erickson, Castro Neves, along with Daly and Kirkwood. Dalton Kellett pitted on lap 18. Are you surprised, Davey, that many drivers are attempting this three-stop strategy?
Not really. You know, I think it's a situation where, you know, if you're from 10th back and there's 26 cars in this field, you know, you should try it, I think. And then, but as you said, a lot of them are going to. For example, I thought Dixon was going to be one of them. As, you know, he's in 10th spot right now. I figured with the strategy that him and Mike Holcomb come up with that they'd be one of them. But right now they're hanging in. So, yes and no. I mean, we'll see. Right now, if I VK award the top five, for sure I'm staying out. Maybe even the top 10. But I think it's going to be interesting to see, especially with Herta.
Well, you know, it's interesting to note, Davey, that because of the guys that, you know, pitted, they continue to run pretty much together. Things are pretty racy between them. But, boy, as we talked about before, when they come up on those drivers who have yet to stop, it's pretty obvious who has the fresher rubber.
Yeah, no, and that's our sport, right? The fresh, as a driver, you always want the best rubber to give us the best tires you can. I want the fastest this car could go, and if I can make a pit stop every time a yellow comes out, that's what you're asking to do. But right now, no yellows, unfortunately. Who knows if it's going to have any or not? But you got to take care of those tires, especially in these long runs, and that's where the black sidewall standard tires may be good towards the end of these longer runs.
20 laps complete. Rinus VK continues to lead the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama.
Baba, it's always suited me pretty well. Since it's being resurfaced, it has a ton of grip. The promoter does a really good job the way they to promote the race. I mean, they got something for everyone to do there. They got a fantastic museum, and the presentation's amazing. It's probably the best on the whole circuit.
Will Power, two-time winner, went back-to-back in 2011 and 2012. Talking about what he loves about Barber Motorsports Park. And Nick Yeoman, let's reflect upon last year's race on April the 18th, served as the season opener, and pit strategy weighed heavily into the first-ever career victory in the NTT IndyCar Series for Alex Palou.
Yeah, in many ways, the race shaped up very similar to what we saw with some drivers opting for two strategies or two pit stops, Others opting for the strategy where you pit three times and then just go out there and drive like hell. And last year, Mark, it was very beneficial. Alex Palou managed those tires and won this race doing two stops. You're not surprised to see them opting for that strategy again. So, again, it's going to be interesting for guys like Newgarden and Colton Herta. They're going to have to drive the wheels off of those race cars, Mark, to make it work. But definitely something to keep an eye on throughout the course of this race.
24 laps complete next time by VK has led the whole way. Award, McLaughlin, Palou, and Rossi, Rosenquist, Ilott, Rahal, Lundgaard, and Dixon, the top 10. And, you know, let's face it, Davey, not only is Callum Ilott a great story currently running seventh, but that race team as a whole, given that, boy, they're all by themselves, literally and figuratively, and still able to run in the top 10 today.
You know, I'm excited to see exactly what this team and this kid can do this year, Mark. I mean, he's one of the ones that stand out that are really, you know, impressive as a driver. And trying to figure these cars out and having a new team and a single car team, he's taking that challenge on with open arms and really getting the job done. So you're right. I mean, how impressive is that? The only single car team in the entire field. And, you know, right now able to show these heavy hitters and the stout teams. For example, Rahal, he's ahead of Rahal. And running seventh, Rahal eighth, and you said they have three cars that they can work off of, and so pretty impressive.
It's fascinating to me, Davey, to watch the gap between the front six or seven cars. I mean, it's just darn near identical from first all the way back to about seventh or eighth.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where their tires are all starting to get wore out. They have not made pit stops yet. And I made a mistake earlier. McLaughlin and Newgarden, I get them so mixed up with the color of their cars and so forth. But they're just kind of holding on right now. They want to make it to their first stop for their two-stop strategy. Right now they're on lap 24. They need to make it. They need to stretch that out to about 29 or 30. So five or six laps, we're going to see those front-running drivers come in to make their first stop. So their tires are wore out. They're hanging on. And what happens? You get dirty air with wore-out tires. It just gaps you like you see right now, Mark.
About a half a lap ago, Davey, we saw Jimmy Johnson watch Joseph Newgarden literally sail by him like Jimmy Johnson was sitting still. Jimmy's one of those guys who's trying to get to lap 29 after Newgarden stopped on lap 11.
Yeah, and that's it. Jimmy Johnson has not pitted yet. Finding himself in that 17th position ahead of Colton Herta, but like I say, has not pitted yet. Same with Simon Pagenaud, finds himself in 15th without a pit stop yet. He's in that first streak. The first 15 drivers have not pitted. And then on down the line, everybody pretty much just pitted after that. I mean, Jimmy Johnson just kind of hanging on at this point.
I've been pretty impressed with Rinus VK. You know, he started on pole and grabbed the lead to the start, Davey. He's done a great job of hitting his marks and maintaining that lead.
Man, just so smooth that driver is. I mean, Suck coming here, obviously, it was a little bit unexpected, I think, on all of us when we seen him on the pole. I'll be straight up. I didn't have him on my radar screen whatsoever, and now that the greens came out, you can see the confidence and how well that car's working. And by the way, when it gets to the Manufacturers Championship, Mark, you got to look, top three right now are Chevrolets.
He's led a total of 86 laps in his career, Davey. He's already led 26 today.
Yeah, and they're going to continue to rack up. What a great, what a great run for that Ed Carpenter team. They work hard to make that car fast. And as we mentioned earlier, the race before the Indianapolis 500 and the track we go to before that weekend and those races in Indy always seems to bring momentum. And at the test, Mark, if you recall, VK looked pretty strong on that 2.5 mile oval at Indianapolis for the 500. So this could be just another shot in the arm for some confidence.
And we see the windows start to open, Davey, on these employing the two-stop strategy. We see the 48 Carvana machine of Jimmy Johnson be the first taker.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson's coming in, really risking on fuel just a little bit. I mean, he's really early in that pit window. I wouldn't risk it until maybe 28 at the earliest. He came in at 26, but he is off the pace, unfortunately, and so possibly saving just a little bit of fuel so they're gambling bringing him in.
So before he came onto pit road, that was my question. Okay, you need fresh Firestones, and you know that your window is at 29. I mean, is it that exact that you're really even gambling if you think about coming in on lap 27 or 28?
Well, you know, if you come in earlier, you sometimes need some help. But if you're off the pace, you're saving fuel, you're not, you know, you're down a second a lap, you're saving fuel. So that may gain you that extra lap or two, Mark, of extra fuel to make it that far. But, yes, I mean, you really, I think 28 is the number. I think that if you're up to speed and you're contending for this race, that you do not want to come in before 20 or 28 is the earliest that I would come in. And I would suggest 29 or 30 if you could get away with it. Now, as you know, no yellows so far. Hopefully it stays that way. But if some are to come out, you know, that helps a few mileage as well.
Cars start to stack up just a little bit from Scott McLaughlin on back. You've got Pelot and Rossi. Davey, you can tell they're getting late in the run. Grip starting to go away for both. And Rossi starting to close on Alex Pelot.
You know, but in, you know, when you look at some, Mark, on the lap speed, our leader runs a 109.7, and you get down to Rossi, he's a 109.6. He's actually faster than our leader right now, so really good time. Pelot, 109.7. So the leaders are all the way down till, you know, about seventh place. Callum Ilott, he's a 109.8. And then the first one, Ray Hall, is a 110. So, you know, these drivers are really hanging in there, these front seven, running all about the same exact time.
Is track position important enough at this race in particular that even though we're this late in the run, that you're still, if you're an O'Ward or a McLaughlin or a Pelot or a Rossi, I'll tell you, we'll finish that thought in just a minute. Pit stops continue. Let's go to pit road driver.
Yeah, here we go. Felix Rosenquist off of the red sidewalls and onto blacks for Arrow McLaren SP. It was a pretty smooth pit stop. He's down and away.
Devlin DeFrancesco among those on pit road as well, Davey. So when you're getting close to that window, what I was going to ask, are you still pushing hard?
Well, yeah, for sure. That's when you got to push the hardest. You know, when that pit window comes up, you know, a few laps before you're going to come in, try to make those laps really count. And the first few laps coming out, really try to make up some time on those fresh Firestone tires to try to make up some time. So, you know, you run harder sometimes those laps than you do the mid stages.
You think the moment we get to 12, I guess I was going to say, you get the moment we get to 29, will we start seeing stops? And indeed, that's the case, as Alex Wolf reports on the stop of Pato O'Ward.
Pato O'Ward coming into the pit box. Taylor Kyle talked to him about a potential turn of front wing. The red tires are coming off. The black tires are going on. They make that turn to the front wing. Pato O'Ward waits, and he's down and away with a spray of water as we go to Ryan Marine.
Alexander Rossi just now sliding to a halt. The Napa Auto Nation crew going to work, taking off the red sidewall tires. Looking all right so far, waiting on the fuel. Now they drop him down off the jacks. He's down and away.
Rossi with the clean exit off of pit road, and Davey, Callum Ilott among those top 10 going to pit road as well.
Yeah, sure enough, he came out right behind Rossi. I think Rossi actually lost some time somewhere because he came in behind Pato O'Ward about 10 car lengths back. He's about 15, 20 car lengths back at least right now. He lost quite a bit of time, but then Ilott's right behind him. We'll see what he can do on those new tires.
Let's go up to the top of the Alabama roller coaster. Michael Young, cars exiting pit road as we speak. Do they have any traffic already at speed?
Yeah, so far so good. There's not been a lot going on in the Alabama roller coaster. I have been watching those three stoppers. And then, oh, let's go back to Alex Wolf.
Renus VK, the leader of the race, comes in with the number 21 Sonax machine. He's on the alternate reds, puts on the primary blacks. A little bit of a bobble of the right front. They let the air hose go down and away in about 7.78 seconds back to Ryan Marine.
Defending race winner here at Barber, Alex Pelot comes into the pits here. He's taking the red sidewall off. They go to the blacks here for this second stint. That's a very clean stop, but it'll be Renus VK beating him out at the exit of pit lane.
So, Michael, where and who are these leaders exiting with?
The three stoppers right now, Joseph Newgarden and Colton Herta. That would be the de facto battle for the lead. Everybody else behind them, Renus VK, Nick, there's a nice battle going down into Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, in terms of the drivers that just pitted, it's going to be VK, and then it is the O'Ward. Boy, a late charge up the inside, Romain Grosjean. He's on the two-stop strategy, or the three-stop. He gets around Scott McLaughlin, but everybody, Mark, trying to blend in. Jake getting a little wild here in this pit sequence.
Yeah, the other thing that's interesting is Newgarden and Herta all of a sudden had Tatiana Calderon right there in front of them as they went into turn number nine. Again, they're the de facto leaders now after this sequence. And, of course, those are two cars in Newgarden and Herta that pitted earlier. They run 1-2.
Those are two awfully fast race cars, Davey. Joseph Newgarden, Colton Herta look pretty evenly matched now as they work their way off at turn number 14.
Yeah, they are evenly matched right now. And you got to remember, they're going to be pitting not too much longer. I mean, they have some fuel left, obviously, but six, seven laps, eight laps in, they're going to start peeling off and lose that lead again. But right now, and then we see Colton Herta and Jimmy Johnson just make slightest contact. Doesn't look like it hurt any one of them, either one of them, but there was some contact between Herta and Jimmy Johnson.
Let's go back to Alex Wolf.
Well, Scott Dixon started in the 13th position on the same strategy as the leaders. Really the only strategy play they had, not making it out of that first round, the extra set of reds. They stayed on the reds on that pit stop, and the PNC Bank machine is back into the race.
Ray Hall, Ilott, Castro Neves, Nick Yeoman. That's a battle for 12th to turn 5.
Boy, Elio Castroneves gets to the inside of Callum Ilott. They're going to drag race to the exit of the corner. Elio to driver's left, Callum Ilott to driver's right as they head to turn 8.
This has been a good battle. Boy, they almost went 3 wide heading in now to turn number 9. Ilott is going to hold off Ray Hall. Then Ilott gets loose. He spins. He made contact with Castroneves. The car went the opposite direction. Yellow flag comes out as Caleb Ilott has spun just outside at turn number 9.
Oh, my goodness, Davey. What a terrible turn of events for Callum Ilott. A promising day is underway. Caution on the course. Davey, we'll get your thoughts when we come back. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the IndyCar Radio Network. Caution on the course. Pit road, a busy place. Let's go to Ryan Marine.
Joseph Newgarden had cycled to the lead as the leader on his strategy. It was a quick stop, 6.5 seconds, just a slight front wing change on that car, and he won the drag race off of pit road with Colton Herta right behind him.
So, Davey, the timing of that particular stop was definitely not beneficial for those on varying pit strategies.
Yeah, you know, they needed a yellow, right? But the yellow came out too soon because the leaders had just pitted 3 laps earlier, some of them maybe 4 laps. Not enough time, and unfortunately, for the three-stopper strategy, you do not go a lap down here, Mark, when you make a pit stop. So that what happened. They pitted. Now it cycles them right to the back of the field, and they still have another stop to make, just like all the rest of the cars. So definitely not an advantage.
Back to Ryan Marine.
Speaking with Tim Sindrick, who is here on the war wagon for Joseph Newgarden. He had cycled to the lead on the strategy there. Then he comes in under yellow. What did that yellow do to the strategy you were on, Tim?
That's pretty simple. Pretty much blew it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were in a good place there. Hang on.
He's going to go on the radio to have a quick word with Joseph. We'll just hang right here. I think he'll be right back with us. But, yeah, that was what we were speculating off air, Tim, that the timing of the yellow just wasn't quite right.
It was a lot more than not quite right. It was exactly wrong. So, anyway, no, I thought we were in a good place, but we'll see what we can do from here.
What can you do? What options are still available?
You do the best you can. You sit here and pass a car. The best strategy is a fast car.
And you got one. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's Tim Sindrick.
This report for the pits is brought to you by Speedway, the official fuel and convenience store of IndyCar. There is a phrase from the old show, the A-Team, Davey. I love it when a plan comes together. That's not what Tim Sindrick sounded like.
well, we called it, right? I mean, when I seen that yell, I thought, oh, okay, well, that's a three. But, you have to look back, and when they only have the leaders only pitted 3 or 4 laps, definitely not enough. It needed to be about 15, 16 laps in right before that they needed to pit those three stoppers. And, it just came out the wrong time. And as Tim said, it really blew the race up because there's really no way to recover from this whatsoever. And the only way to recover is, as he said as well, you just got to pass cars. I mean, that's it. There's no pit strategy. All pit strategies off right now.
The location of where Callum Ilott went off course took a minute to get that car upright. And it wasn't over. It was just kind of wedged just off the edge of the racetrack and did not have enough traction to be able to get out of the runoff area. And sadly for Callum Ilott, Davey, that mistake cost him 2 laps.
Yeah, and the situation with Caleb, we talked about how good he was doing, how mature he is, how fast he is. But there you go. There's a mistake that, you know, the veteran Elio Castroneves on the inside of him knew. And all Kellum had to do to save that spot is he needed just to lift, you know, 15 feet, 20 feet earlier, and he would have still stayed ahead of Elio, but he just drove into the corner way too hard, out of line, and just lost control.
Lights out on the pace car. We'll restart, completing lap 35. VK, Award, McLaughlin, Pelot, and Rossi, the top five. Rosenquist, Ray Hall, Dixon, Sato, and Power, the top 10. Christian Lugard, 11th. Devlin DeFrancesco is 12th. And Pagano, Kellett, and Malukas through 15th position. Johnson, Newgarden, Herta, Grosjean, and Harvey through 20th. 21st is Marcus Ericsson. 22nd is Elio Castroneves. 23rd, Connor Daly. Kirkwood, 24th. Calderon, 25th. Caleb Ilott, two laps down in 26th as the green flag flies. Michael Young.
And last year's pole sitter trying to get around this year's pole sitter, Pottawa Ward, 2 to 3 car lengths in arrears of Rinus VK. What a great race Rinus has run thus far. Still about a 3-car length advantage through turn 4.
Rinus VK got a nice charge out of turn 17 when he saw the green flag. He'll have a 3-car length advantage over Pottawa Ward. The battle is for fourth. Alexander Rossi's going to go the long way around Alex Pelot. Give him that spot. Rossi moves his way into the fourth.
So now we will see if Alexander Rossi can work his way into third on Scott McLaughlin. McLaughlin went a little bit wide, setting up for turn number 9. Rossi, though, is right there on the rear wing, bottom of the hill. Rossi trying to get that third spot on Scott McLaughlin. The front two have checked out just a little bit.
Going to be interesting to see what race control might have seen. Saw a little piece of debris fly off of one of the race cars in that short little straightaway around turn number 7. Haven't seen any indication that it's in the racing group, but we'll keep an eye on that for sure. So it's VK, Award, McLaughlin, Rossi, and Pelot. Davey saw Will Power get a good start. He grabbed a couple of spots and is working on Graham Rahal.
Yeah, it sure is right now. Matter of fact, Colton Herta is on a mission. He just flat went underneath Malukas and just pushed him out of the way and turned 16. Said, I'm here. I'm going to push you out of the way. Almost took them both out, but they both recovered. But right now, Colton Herta has already got by Newgarden and just pushed his way by Malukas. He is on a charge towards the front. Unfortunately, he's in that 15th spot.
A really good battle for the second position, Jake Query. It'll head to the museum before long. It's Pottawa Ward and Scott McLaughlin with Alexander Rossi and Alex Pelot giving chase to the top.
I'll tell you what, that might be the more interesting scenario. Meanwhile, Scott Dixon a little bit further back tried to pop to the inside of Felix Rosenquist, had to think better of it. Everybody now single file working their way through turn number 10. Rinus VK is the leader, extending away from Award, who then has about a car length and a half over Scott McLaughlin.
A former race winner here, Davey Hamilton. Takuma Sato is working his way toward the top 10 for Dale Coyne Racing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Doing what a good job by Sato as well. Looks like we may have a car off, but it looks like he is continuing on right now. And, man, I'll tell you what, I'm trying to watch Colton, and I don't want to change it, but that is the race. He just went by his teammate, DeFrancesco, and shot himself in that 13th spot. I mean, he is blowing through this field and moving the cars out of the way as he needs, but he is putting on a show right now.
Battle for second. Before long, we'll head to Nick Yeoman at turn number 5. It's Pottawa Ward and Scott McLaughlin.
Yeah, as Rinus VK continues to streak away, Scott McLaughlin has got the bullseye right on the back, that orange and black car of Pottawa Ward. It's 3 car lengths the advantage as they leave turn number 5. Davey's right, though. Colton Herta continues to carve his way up through the field. But Jake, up front, pretty good battle for second.
Yeah, right now, VK has a sizable gap, but Ward is getting all kinds of look from Scott McLaughlin. That battle now works its way off of turn number 9 in through turn number 10. Pottawa Ward, Scott McLaughlin just behind him. But Mark, just when you start to take a look at that, Alexander Rossi is right there on McLaughlin as well.
I know, Davey, you're keeping an eye on 13th place running Colton Herta. Just behind him in 14th is Kellett, 15th is DeFrancesco. They've bottled up Joseph Newgarden, who's trying to get back in contention. He currently runs 16th.
Yeah, and you got to remember, Colton started behind Joseph Newgarden when the green flag came out, Mark. So Colton was able to maneuver through. And like I say, when I say maneuver, I mean moving people out of his way, just like I'm here and you move. And where Newgarden probably isn't quite there yet, doesn't want to do that this early in the race, but it's kind of left Newgarden in his dust.
He just got around Devlin DeFrancesco and he picked up a spot. And Romain Grosjean has moved his way around DeFrancesco as well. So he and Newgarden running 15th and 16th. Meanwhile, Davey, a pretty comfortable advantage. Rinus VK obviously has a very fast, very balanced race car. His lead already at 1.6 seconds.
Yeah, what a great lead for VK right now. It's only a couple second lead, but nice and comfortable over Pato Award. McLaughlin, he's in that third position. And then right behind him, Rossi. Great run for Rossi getting around Pelot. But remember we talked about early, somebody that's in the points hunt, has had a good points championship, hasn't won yet. That's Will Power, starting way back in the field, finds himself marking that eighth position.
Yeah, and he's got a fast race car, too. We're watching Will Power right now. He has Felix Rosenquist firmly in the crosshairs. That is the battle for the seventh position now. Will Power is right up underneath the rear of that race car. So, Michael, you'll see VK, you'll see Award, McLaughlin, Rossi, below the top five. Then after Scott Dixon, Michael, you'll see a great battle for seventh between Rosenquist and Will Power.
Yeah, Will Power has been closing since that restart. Felix Rosenquist, about a two-car length advantage. He'll swing wide. That may open the door for Will Power. Will gets a nice run out of turn number three up through turn number four. Give it a car length. Here comes Will Power.
They'll charge down to turn at number five. Will Power has the inside advantage, and he'll take that red and black Verizon Chevrolet around Felix Rosenquist. So move Will Power into the seventh spot as he slips around Rosenquist and now charges to turn eight.
So that means that Will Power's next target will become Scott Dixon in the sixth position is that PNC Bank machine. He's got some distance to make up. Will Power now about a car length and a half advantage over Rosenquist, who he passed. He's got eight car lengths to make up to Scott Dixon.
Graham Rahal doing Graham Rahal things, Davey Hamilton, after not necessarily being pleased with qualifying, look up, and he's worked his way into the top ten.
Yeah, that's right. Doing a good job, really, Graham. And we always know he does a good job in the race. Sometimes just qualifying becomes a problem. It looks like Jimmy Johnson may have spun in front of Elio Castroneves. It looks like, or maybe Simon Padgett. Continue to keep the car going. It's a replay from earlier on. But, boy, Jimmy's really lucky that he didn't get hit. But he, like I say, kept the car going.
And Colton Herta, Davey, you've been watching him. He continues to be on the move. Next up for him is the 12th place running car of Christian Lundgaard.
Yeah, he's been behind him a few laps. Lundgaard obviously has pretty good speed. Colton's not able to get up beside him just to maybe use his tactics of how to move forward right now. That is get underneath him and just move him. As I say that, he's going to do that right now down at turn five. Rolls in, pushes him out of the way, and moves on.
Looks like the 06 of Elio Castroneves has been told to move behind the 48, Davey, for avoidable contact. That's Elio and Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, well, it does look like Elio may have got into the back of him going down into turn five and six. That may have been the reason for Jimmy getting turned around. But to go behind him, I think he's quite a ways behind him. He's going to have to give up a lot of track position before it allows Jimmy Johnson to get back in front of Elio Castroneves.
I'll tell you what, two pretty fast race cars. Been mired back foot, you know, on the restart because of that pit strategy, Dave. You've been watching 14th place running Joseph Newgarden, 15th place running Roman Grosjean. Those guys are putting on a pretty good show.
Yeah, another good show by those guys. Still not on the charge like Colton Herta is. He got by Lundgaard. He got by Sato. Finds himself in that 11th position. He's already behind Simon Pagenaud. Got to remember that the two-stop strategy didn't work for him. The three-stop strategy didn't work for him. He stuck on the two, went to the back, and now he's back basically where he started this race. So a fast car underneath Colton Herta. Man, he's making some moves.
Let's give you a full field rundown with 41 laps complete. Rita's VK is your leader. Pato Award is second. Scott McLaughlin third. Alexander Rossi is fourth. Alex Pelot is fifth. Scott Dixon, Will Power, Felix Rosenquist, Graham Rahal, Simon Pagenaud through 10th. Colton Herta is 11th. Takuma Sato is 12th. 13th, Lundgaard. 14th, Newgarden. 15th, Grosjean. 16th, Kellett. 17th, Erickson. 18th, Devlin DeFrancesco. 19th, Jack Harvey. 20th, David Malukas. 21st is Connor Daly. 22nd is Kyle Kirkwood. 23rd is Jimmy Johnson. 24th, Elio Castroneves. 25th, Tatiana Calderon. Two laps down in 26th, Callum Ilott at the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. Just about to the halfway point of what has been a dominant performance by Rita's VK. He has led 40 of the 43 laps, gave it up during pit stops. Well, it's time now for our Minute with Mario, presented by Ruoff Mortgage. This week we ask him about how he feels when he hears his name in a song. We also ask him what he considers to be the highlight of his incredible career.
You know, quite honestly, I think it's championships, you know, because it's the fruit of the entire season effort. You know, any championship never comes easy, you know. But you look back, you figure, well, how rewarding that is. So that's the way I look at it. I mean, some of the single races, obviously, you know, carry a lot of weight. You know, the classics like Indy, Daytona 500 and all that. But it's the championship to me that means everything as a driver. I was in L.A., just landed, and on my way to Riverside for a test in California. And in 4:05, late in the evening, I hear, Mario Andretti, would he be proud? You know, I said, what in the world? It was Charlie Daniels. And I figure, oh, where in the world did that come from? You know, so then from there, you know, we had a few more, which is, you know, obviously, I wish I could sing them myself, you know, but such a compliment to even be mentioned, of course. So because of that, sometimes you got to pinch yourself.
Mario Andretti would have sure been proud of the way I was moving when I passed that crowd coming out the door and headed toward me in a trot.
Late great Charlie Daniels paying tribute to Mario Andretti. A Minute with Mario presented by Ruoff Mortgage. For a fast mortgage process, apply online at ruoff.com. By the way, email your questions for Mario to radio@indycar.com, and maybe we'll use it on a future broadcast as we reach the halfway mark. And I'm sure Mario Andretti is plenty proud, Davey Hamilton, of the show that Colton Herta is putting on. He has worked his way into the top 10.
Yeah, and you know that Mario Andretti's on Colton Herta's pit stand. That's where he hangs out during the races. Obviously, Herta drives for Andretti Autosport, and that's where Mario hangs out. Has a lot of confidence in Colton, and thinks he's the next up and comer. Which, how can you argue with that? So good to have Mario at all these racetracks. Unfortunately, we do two seater rides every event, Mark. And this morning with the rain and the. That didn't hold us back, but the lightning did. So I couldn't go out on track because of the lightning early this morning to give the rides. But Mario was here bright and early, ready to hop in that two-seater Indy car to give rides.
No question, Davey. Reedus VK is in a class by himself so far.
Right now, absolutely outstanding. 2.5 second lead over Pato Award, McLaughlin. Those three just pretty simple, staying out front. Still impressed with that comeback of Rossi after an accident earlier in the weekend, causing a lot of damage to his car. Getting by Pillow for that fourth spot, Pillow in fifth. You know, Dixon started way in the back of this field as well. Finds himself in that sixth position, and Power in seventh. Two of those drivers, those are the veterans, started way back, but pounded their way towards the front.
Nick Yeoman, you will see when they get to Charlotte's Web that Colton Herta is not content with 10th. He's got Ray Hall and Rosenquist, and he has his sights set on those two.
Yeah, I can see him coming down the front straightaway, Mark, so oftentimes I know when he's going to set him up. Ray Hall's actually going to get to the inside of Felix Rosenquist and make a nice pass, so move Graham up to 8th, Rosenquist back to 9th, and then, Jake, it's Colton Herta stalking those 2 and 10.
And what's interesting is you would think that Colton Herta would patiently wait and let that settle itself out, but no, that's not in the GameBridge machine's nature today, because Colton Herta is running now in the 10th position. He has knifed his way through. He is now looking very hard on Felix Rosenquist as they set up to turn number 11. Rosenquist is going to hold him off, but Colton Herta is setting him up, Mark.
Herta's trying to go side by side, but he has to tuck in behind him because they're going through a more technical portion of the race course just behind them. A pretty good battle between Lundgaard, Newgarden, and Grosjean, and just like that, Colton Herta's able to grab that spot, Davey, and he did it in an area that's typically not notorious for passing.
Until today, he's made about 5 or 6 passes right there, and that is going from turn 15 to 16. He just shoots on the bottom and really gives that outside line nowhere to go. They have to either lift or get pushed off the racetrack. Colton's car sticking good down there low, found a nice little place to pass, and he's doing it using that spot time and time again. I'll promise you, when this race is over, a lot of these drivers are going to watch, where did Colton make up those spots? They're going to look at that, and I'll tell you, they're going to give that a try the next time they come back here.
Got some work to do before he can get to Graham Rahal, so with 47 laps complete, it's VK, Award, McLaughlin, Rossi, and Pillow. Dixon, Power, Rahal, Herta, and Rosenquist, the top 10. Pagano, Sato, Christian Lundgaard, and Joseph Newgarden through 14th. And Romain Grosjean is in the 15th spot. Actually, you might want to slot him back one because, Davey, him and Joseph Newgarden made contact just before they got to jQuery in the museum. And, boy, Romain Grosjean avoided disaster there.
Yeah, you know, Romain, he's trying as hard as he can. Got it on the outside of Newgarden, going down through turns 5 and 6. Newgarden kind of moved up to block him just a little bit. Then here he came back around the outside again, trying to get to, before they get to turn 5. Just didn't have enough time, went to the outside. Fortunately, he didn't spin. Ilott, we just seen him do the same thing, get turned around in the gravel.
That all got started when Joseph had to lip, because when they were coming off of Charlotte's Web, Davey, Joseph Newgarden almost drove up underneath the rear wing of Christian Lundgaard.
Yeah, he sure did. Had nowhere to go at that point. Thought he was going to be able to get by him as well. And you got to remember, these cars, they're all for position right now, Mark. When you talk to Lundgaard, he's fighting for position just like the rest of these guys. So, man, when you catch up to him so rapidly, sometimes it's almost like a lap car. But right now, he's doing all he can, that is Lundgaard, to hold his spot.
Jake, it looked like Simon Pagenaud was the latest to make quick work of Felix Rosenquist.
Yeah, I almost wonder if Felix Rosenquist, something might not have happened aerodynamically with that car once he let Colton Herta by, because Pagenaud made quick work of him. Give credit to Simon Pagenaud. He's another that had kind of fallen back off strategy a little bit. Now, all of a sudden, seems like that 60 car is pretty hooked up. Put now Simon Pagenaud into the 10th position.
Well, just behind them, that battle between Lundgaard and Newgarden and Romain Grosjean has yet to settle itself out. It looks like Grosjean has fully recovered from that contact with Joseph Newgarden and Michael Young. Before long, you will see those guys hooked up together. 13th, Christian Lundgaard. 14th, Newgarden. 15th, Romain Grosjean.
And it looks as if Joseph Newgarden may have the quicker car. He's just trying to find a way around Christian Lundgaard. He looked inside, he looked outside, and he has Romain Grosjean right on his rear wing.
They'll make their way down to Charlotte's Web, and they really tighten up the apex into that corner. Newgarden gets right up underneath the rear wing of Christian Lundgaard, and then Grosjean right there, about a car length and a half back, Jake, watching to see if Newgarden bounces left or right around Lundgaard.
Got to agree with Michael Young here. It almost feels like Newgarden has the better car right now, but Lundgaard maybe is holding him up just a little bit, and Newgarden isn't able to make up any ground on that. They stay true to form to that right now through turn number 9, but again, Newgarden, just as he was starting to close in on Lugard, now he's got to worry about Romain Grosjean.
Davey, we look on our camera angles, we can see plenty of debris that's along the front straightaway just off of that final turn, but so far it's out of the racing groove, so I don't know if race control is going to pay much attention to that or not.
No, it's out of the racing groove. There is debris. A lot of that's just rubber, Mark, but there does look like there could be a couple pieces. I think one of them potentially came off Jimmy Johnson's car after Colton Herta and Jimmy made contact. Some did fly off his car, but the rubber just accumulates there, and as we call marbles, and you definitely don't want to get up in that area, but I don't think they'll do anything like throw a yellow to try to clean just that front straightaway. And you got another thing that we work with here, Mark, is VK leading this race. We get 200 seconds of push to pass. He still has 187 seconds left. Hasn't even had to use it. I mean, he used it just a couple times, obviously. And Ward has 176, and McLaughlin in that 170s. Colton Herta, he's the first one. You get it down to 9th. We've seen now he's been charging. He only has 45 seconds left. So cars in front of him and behind him have a lot more push to pass. So he just needs to keep a track of that.
Among the top 10, Scott McLaughlin is one of those we haven't talked much about. Let's change that, Alex Wolf.
Yeah, and he is right now. If you want some sort of idea of when the window is going to open up for those two-stoppers, Scott McLaughlin told by his strategist Kyle Moyer that he's got a nice smooth pace, that he's liking what he's seeing to really hold on to those tires, because he's about 10 or 11 laps away from his pit stop. So we're getting close to that final window opening up, including Scott McLaughlin, the third step on the podium.
He's had a nice rebound from Long Beach, Davey, and it's been a good run so far, obviously, for Alexander Rossi and Alex Palou.
Yeah, both of them really good runs. Rossi really needs this, doing a good job today. Finds himself in that fourth position. Palou, not where he wants to be. He thought that he really had a good shot at winning this race, and right now finds himself 5 seconds off the pace from our leader, so he has a lot of work to do, but still a nice, clean race for him. You know, we always look at the big picture, and that's the championship. I know it's still early on right now, but you got McLaughlin with a 13-point lead over his teammate, Newgarden, who's trying, you know, struggling a little bit today. Finds himself in that 14th position, so he gains a spot in that championship, and Newgarden loses one. And then, you know, Palou is in that 10th spot, or in that 10th car, finds himself in third, only 14 points back, Mark.
Tough as a race strategist now, Davey. When do you make that call? We think the window's going to open up at lap 59. So you obviously are of the opinion that as soon as it opens, come in, but sometimes you're going to have to talk your driver down a little bit in order to get him to understand the strategy, right?
Yeah, that's right. When you don't go a lap down, get in, and just so it does, what doesn't happen to you, what happened to three stoppers, if the yellow comes out, you got to cycle and you pit, and everybody else is, you know, pitted before you. It cycles you to the back. So as a leader, as soon as that window's open, I want to shoot in there just not to gamble on that yellow, and somebody that's maybe behind me that just pitted is going to file themselves out in front of me. So absolutely. So when, you know, that 59, I'd say even 58 lap comes, I think I'd take it, and we're on 52 right now.
So 52, as Davey said, VK, Award, McLaughlin, Rossi, and Pelot, the top five. Dixon, Power, Rahal, Herta, and Pagano, the top 10. Rosenquist, Sato, Lundgaard, Newgarden, and Grosjean, the top 15. Erickson, 16th. Devlin DeFrancesco, 17th. Harvey, 18th. Malukas, 19th. Connor Daly, 20th. Kyle Kirkwood, 21st. 22nd is Jimmy Johnson. 23rd is Elio Castroneves. 24th is Dalton Kellett. 25th is Tatiana Calderon. Two laps down is Callum Ilott. He is in 26th. Simon Pagano, Davey, struggled all weekend, struggled in qualifying. He is plus 14 on the day.
Yeah, how about that? What a great run by Pagano. We talked about how he qualified so bad. And I even went and looked for him at one point. I think he's probably hiding out, not happy. But, wow, what a comeback. We talked about Dixon and Power, too. Well, those are the three. It's Pagano with gaining 14 spots, Power gaining 12, and Dixon gaining 7. There's those veterans. They somehow can figure out how to get to the front with those great teams they're with.
We go back to look at the battle for 13th. It's Lundgaard. It's Joseph Newgarden. It's Roman Grosjean. Marcus Ericsson trying to keep pace, Jay Query.
And Lundgaard has, we'll call it about a two-car length advantage over Newgarden as they work their way into turn number 9. But again, it feels like Newgarden is being held up. But at the same time, once they come off of that into the straightaway that's turn number 10, then all of a sudden Lundgaard seems to get away just a little bit. Right behind Newgarden, you've got Roman Grosjean. Then you wait just a second, and that's when Marcus Ericsson comes into view.
Yeah, Ericsson is the one that is trying to keep pace with that group and having trouble doing so. Davey, how about Pato Award? He stayed 1.5 seconds behind Rinus VK. And so if they both would by chance come to pit road at the same time, that's when we reaffirm the fact this is indeed a team sport. A lot of pressure on these teams to get these guys clean stops.
Yeah, right. That doesn't leave a lot of mistake time, as we've seen with Kirkwood. You never want to have mistakes. And it's not always the crew. I looked like down in the Foyt camp, the right front tire, the wheel gun malfunctioned in some way. And so you can have mechanical failures as well, as we see. Man, a really good race right now. It looks like Newgarden, and that is Grosjean getting by Newgarden down turn 4 and 5.
And Jake Query, that's returning the favor from when they got together in front of you a couple of laps ago.
All of a sudden, Roman Grosjean got the elbows back out a little bit. Now his next target is that of Christian Lundgaard. This is the battle for 13th. Lundgaard has it. Grosjean wants it. Joseph Newgarden now has to take a look at Roman Grosjean after Grosjean had gotten past it.
Within about 4 laps of that window, Davey, it's not necessarily just a fuel window. More importantly, it's a window for brand new Firestone Firehawks.
Yeah, Firestone Firehawks, and VK, Award, McLaughlin, Rossi, for sure, those. Looks like they're going to have some nice red tires available for them to put on to finish this. I don't know if they started on the sticker reds or the scuffed reds, but they're on blacks right now with a nice lead. But behind them, Dixon, Power, Herta, and Pagano all have been on those red tires. Lap times, Herta, let's just use him. It means he's been jet through the field, 110. BK, 109.5, so a little bit faster for those black tires late in these runs.
We're seeing the same scenario unfold that we saw during the last round of stops, Davey. Jimmy Johnson comes right on the fringe of that fuel window.
Right on the fringe of it, like I say. Unfortunately, Jimmy's off pace a little bit, just not using the fuel that some of these other cars are using, just because of he obviously not on the throttle as much. Time's down. So he was able to pit that one lap before, but as you recall, from this lap on, it's going to get really busy in pit lane.
Good news for Pato Award. He has bumped that lead up by about 3/10. VK has bumped that lead up about 3/10. But Pato Award, the most comfortable, Dave. He has a pretty nice advantage over Scott McLaughlin.
Yeah, that's the best part to be. I mean, unfortunately, he wants to be on VK and pressure him. But the most important, that he's not getting pressured. Scott McLaughlin behind him got a couple second lead over Scott. That's nice and comfortable, so Pato doesn't have to make any crazy risks. Just keep pushing as hard as that car can push without going over the limits.
So VK has bumped that lead up to 1.9 seconds now as they work. He works his way through that Alabama roller coaster, and Pottawa Ward continues to give chase. And things a pretty good separation right now, Davey, throughout the field. I mean, there's not much tight racing unless you want to go back and watch Roman Grosjean, who just worked his way around Takuma Sato.
Yeah, and that's what happens late in these runs, right, Mark? The tires are really wore out. They're doing all they can just to hang on to these cars. As we see Kirkwood go flying by Johnson down the front straightaway right now. I know Johnson, Kirkwood being a lap down, if I recall. Did he make that lap up? He did make that lap up, I think. And so everybody's on the lead lap right now. Whether this is a couple cars off. I think Johnson still shows him on the lead. Oh, no, he is one lap down. I'm sorry. So anyhow, yeah, good run by Kirkwood trying to just make up time, get experience underneath his belt. And so right now, these tires are wore out, Mark. They're wore out. These drivers want to come in and get some fresh rubber.
57 laps complete. Pit stops when we come back to Barber Motorsports Park.
Barber is a great circuit because it is, I mean, a beautiful venue, rolling hills, you know, put aside all the art sculptures and everything else. It's a challenge for us, being repaved as well in recent times. Good amount of grip there, very smooth track. Really kind of separates the men from the boys when it comes to, you know, the end of the back straight, for instance, into turn 8 is completely blind, 9, you know, and then again, you go up through the S's, you come to the end of the longer back straight, and I mean 100% blind, flat out, you know, when you turn into the first corner, and pray that she sticks. But physical place, weather is often a role there a little bit, whether it's even heat or rain, we get it all. So just it's a challenging place to go race.
Challenging place for sure. That Graham Rahal with his thoughts and impressions from Barber Motorsports Park. And Davey, it's a challenging place to race unless you're Rita's VK.
Yeah, right. It's probably challenging for him, too, but it doesn't look like it, right? I mean, what a great job that Renus is doing. Pulled out. He still has that 2.2-second lead over Pato Award. Pato has a nice lead over McLaughlin. Not much action right now, but as I said, pit stops are, I mean, they should be coming in momentarily. I'm surprised some of them. I see tires laying out right now, Mark, and this is the final stop for these drivers, so these crews need to get it right, get their drivers back out there to fight it to the end.
You're listening to great radio stations like WLAG in LaGrange, Georgia, WIAM in Williamston, North Carolina, and our flagship station in Indianapolis, WFNI, the Fan, home of our very own Jake Query, and home of essentially the mothership of this network for the month of May, which is here, right around the corner for sure. Pit stops underway. Here's where we might decide it, Ryan Marine.
We very well might. Alexander Rossi comes in around the crew of Alex Below. He'll be coming in for the next lap. This team had a slow stop earlier that cost Alex some track position. Up over 6 seconds now. They drop him off the jack. It was a bit slow again, just a shade under 8 seconds. It's a set of sticker black tires to go the distance. Alex?
Pato Award and Rinus VK both going to be coming in at about the same time as Devlin DeFrancesco and Jack Harvey leave their boxes. As laid out as the Arrow McLaren SP team, the Sonax Ed Carpenter Racing team for Rinus VK as they are both laid out and coming in. We're also expecting Scott McLaughlin momentarily. It'll be primary blacks to take these top two cars home as they wait. They'll come here momentarily. They're coming onto the pit lane. Waving with the left hand is the Rinus VK crew, also now Pato Awards. First into the box will be Rinus VK. Just ahead of him is Pato Award. Head-to-head, it's almost like a pit stop competition. It's these two teams, they wait for the right front tire changer to tell them to go. It's very close, but it's going to be Rinus VK winning the drag race down pit road.
Let's go back to Ryan Marine.
Yeah, VK will certainly win that drag race off of pit road. We're expecting Alex Palou, but he's not in here yet. It looks like it'll be one more lap for the reigning race winner, but VK leads Palou, rather Award, off of the pit lane.
And we did see Will Power come off and on pit road as well, so VK and Will Power. It looks like Pottawa Ward among those coming to pit road, along with Alexander Rossi. So, Nick Yeoman.
And Pato Award has swung around the outside of Rinus VK on the outlap. The Mexican driver is on the throttle. Jake, he just got around Rinus VK. Major implications for this race win.
And now all of a sudden Award is putting Rinus VK in the rearview mirror, doing so through turn number 9 with a sizable gap now to Rinus VK. We'll call it about 4 car lengths. It is Jimmy Johnson, the back marker behind these two, watching that battle. But what he's watching is Pato Award distancing himself from Rinus VK.
Davey, we've talked about how important the pit stop would be, but I think importantly, you mentioned the fact that Rinus VK lost valuable time coming onto pit road.
Yeah, no, he had a 2.5 second lead the lap before. By the time they got on pit road, it was 1.3. By the time the pit stops ended, Pato Ward was right on his tail, and man, Pato got after it. He went out there like those were warmed up tires, didn't waste any time, and he flat went right around the outside of VK. VK broke a lot and hard and early down at 5, and man, Ward went right around him.
Scott Dixon comes off of pit road. Did we see Colton Herta come on to pit road, Ryan Marine?
Yes, we did, and there was actually a delay. It appeared on the right front of that car, so a bit of a delay in the pits for Colton Herta.
And Nick Yeoman, pretty good battle. Scott McLaughlin, Scott Dixon in front of you.
Yep, the Scots from down under went side by side down through turn number 5. It's a battle for fifth. Looked like, though, Jake McLaughlin was able to hold off Dixon at the exit of 6.
Yeah, now all of a sudden, Scott Dixon's bigger concern may be Elio Castroneves, but McLaughlin got wide in turn number 9. That allowed Dixon to get that spot back. Now all of a sudden, it's Castroneves that's going to try to get McLaughlin. McLaughlin shuts that door, but put Dixon in 5th, McLaughlin in 6th, Castroneves now at 7.
Let's go to pit road and Ryan Marine.
Alex Palou comes to the pits from the lead. He goes longer than just about anybody, if not everybody. It's a set of scuffed blacks to go the distance. The tear-off comes off. Speedway fuel in. He's down and away, trying to make the overcut strategy work for him.
Scott McLaughlin almost threw a promising day away, Davey Hamilton.
Oh, that was close right there. Shot down, just got, looks like a frustration, not being where he wanted to be. And yeah, go to Nick. Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Nick Yeoman, look at turn number 5. Looks like a good stop for Alex Palou.
Alex Palou goes long, and he's able to get himself into 2nd. Pato Award blitzes around him, and now the NTT IndyCar Series champion on cold tires, Jake, he's going to have to hold off Rinus VK, essentially for the 2nd position.
So that's the question. Is he going to be able to hold him off in turn number 8? Is VK going to be able to get Palou? He is not at this point. So Alex Palou holds him off through turn 9, trying to get that heat in the tires. If VK was going to strike, that might have been his opportunity, as Alex Palou continues to hold off Rinus VK.
Great timing on the stop by the defending series champion and the defending race winner, Davey. Alex Palou goes in with the race lead, comes out in the 2nd position.
Yeah, and that's what happened, that overcut, as we just talked about. You have to get after it. Well, right before you're going to pit, you got to cut the best laps you cut, try to get some free racetrack out there, nobody in front of you, and he did just that. And VK just lost a lot of time in and out of the pits, just lost way too much time. Can't do that. They'll look at the tapes, work on that for VK for sure. I mean, once he's on track, like right now, he's got a plenty fast car. Looks like he's making it easy, but the in lap and out lap really cost him.
And Davey, Marcus Ericsson led briefly. He waited as long as he could, but he last pitted on lap 33. Marcus Ericsson had to come to pit road.
Yeah, had to come. Boosts him back to that 12th position right in between Grosjean and Newgarden. Actually goes back just a little bit farther right now. He's all the way back in 16th. Not a good day for Ericsson.
So let's reset it now. We'll complete 65 laps next time by. Here's your full field rundown. Pato Award, Alex Palou, Rinus VK, Scott Dixon, Scott McLaughlin, your top 5. Will Power is 6th, Rossi is 7th, Ray Hall is 8th, Herta is 9th, Simon Pagenaud 10th, Roman Grosjean is 11th, Marcus Ericsson 12th, Joseph Newgarden 13th, Felix Rosenqvist is 14th, 15th is Sato, Lundgaard is 16th, DeFrancesco is 17th, Jack Harvey is 18th, Connor Daly is 19th, David Malukas is 20th, Dalton Kellett 21st, 22nd Elio Castroneves, 23rd Kyle Kirkwood, 24th is Jimmy Johnson, a lap down in 25th is Tatiana Calderon, 2 laps down is Callum Ilott, he is 26th. The reports from pit road, by the way, brought to you by Speedway, the official fuel and convenience store of IndyCar. Question is, Davey, he's had the fast car all day long. Can Rinus VK, does he have anything at all for Alex Palou and Pato Award? He has led 57 laps today.
Hey, boy, it just doesn't look like, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I just think that he's struggling right now as we see Rahal go by Rossi down in turns five. I mean, a power move by Rahal, but I don't think so. Colton Herta, by the way, here he comes on Rossi as well. But VK has speed, but I don't think he has any more than a Ward Plow, and you got to try to pass him.
Be interesting to see if Colton Herta, Davey, is as fast as he was earlier when he picked up about sixth position. He's all over Alexander Rossi.
Yeah, sure is. Alexander Rossi, I think, on those black sidewall harder tires, and then you got Herta on those reds, it looks like. Yeah, for sure, that's exactly what it is. They have a backwards on our timing scoring right now, but Herta on reds, Rossi on blacks, Herta should be able to take care of him.
Michael Young, the top five, pretty well separated, but from a top four, I should say, but Dixon, McLaughlin, Power, Rahal pretty tight together.
Yeah, that seventh-place battle, it has Jimmy Johnson holding up Graham Rahal. Now Alexander Rossi will look to the inside. He will be able to get a good run. Will he be able to get around Johnson as they make their way to Charlotte's Web?
Yeah, that's the issue. Everyone's trying to navigate around Jimmy Johnson's slower car. Graham Rahal gets around him. Alexander Rossi had to take an aggressive charge. That's going to open the door for Colton Herta. Herta's going to draw even with Rossi. Jake, it's a battle for eighth down the straightaway.
Colton Herta now is going to try to get on Rossi. Couldn't do it before they get to turn number nine. So then you got to kind of wait, get to the bottom of the hill. We'll see if Colton Herta is able to go to the outside of Alexander Rossi. He does exactly that. Colton Herta actually made contact. Rossi nearly lost his car, was able to save it, but Herta moves into eighth.
And Graham Rahal is saying, slug it out, boys, have at it. I'd like to get a little breathing room. So, Davey, that's a really nice battle now, but Rossi is not clear yet. I mean, you got Herta, Pagenaud, Grosjean, all of those guys right there together.
Yeah, Herta, the back, he's making power moves. I mean, he's not giving that other driver a choice. He just says, I'm here, I'm going to move you out of the way. You count on me not lifting, and he's making up ground like crazy doing that and making it work, by the way. He's making it work. He's on a mission.
Rossi, Pagenaud in front of you, Michael Young.
Yeah, Rossi trying to hold off Pagenaud. I believe the battle for ninth. Here comes Alexander Rossi, and here comes Simon Pagenaud trying to make the move.
Ahead of those guys, Will Power just got around Scott McLaughlin to move into the top five, and it is Rossi, at least for now, holding off Simon Pagenaud. But outside of the top five, Jake, it is getting tight throughout this field.
Got to wonder if all of a sudden the balance on that car for Alexander Rossi might have gone away just a little bit after Colton Herta had made contact with him, because now all of a sudden Rossi dropping back. He's going to let Pagenaud, looks like, get past. Then it's Will Power holding off Scott McLaughlin.
Davey, tell us what it means. Award, Pelot, VK, Dixon among the top four. Sixth place running McLaughlin. Eighth place running Herta. They're all on blacks. Who has the advantage with the rest of those guys on reds?
Well, I think towards the end of this run, we may see those blacks come to life. I'll be honest with you, the reds may wear out. But so far, they've been hanging in pretty good. We haven't seen a lot of speed change and hard to get by. You need to do your moves early, just as we've seen Will Power do to his teammate, Scott McLaughlin, get down in turn five. He made that power move on those reds, but Scott's right behind him, and you got to remember Rahal's got trying to hunt him down as well on those red tires.
Pretty impressive runs for some of those guys that started in the rear of the field, Davey. We pointed them out. Among them, Will Power, Scott Dixon, Simon Pagenaud for sure. All those guys are the top 10 after starting deep in the field.
Yeah, deep in the field from the green flag. We thought, well, how far can they come up? Well, how about this? 14 positions ahead for Will Power. 14 positions ahead for Simon Pagenaud. 9 for Scott Dixon. Those are the three we really had our eye on. And, man, they've definitely making some moves today.
Pato Award hitting all of his marks. He has opened up a lead of 1.2 seconds over second place running below. Let's get more on your leader, Pato Award from Alex Wolf.
Well, after that pit stop between Award against VK and Pato Award got out front, he then asked, where did Pelot come from? He was told by Taylor Kyle about the overcut that the defending series champion was able to do, but he then told him, just focus on managing your gap. We're all right, and it's been quiet since then.
Speaking of Pato Award and Taylor Kyle, we got Taylor Kyle's comments earlier this week on weekend on what the future looks like as far as that team is concerned, a Pato Award at Arrows McLaren.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now we'll we'll talk about driver stuff when it happens. We want to be a three-car team. We've been very vocal about that, and Pato's a big part of what we do here at Arrow McLaren SP. So for us, the focus is this weekend, and the rest will fall into place when it falls into place.
Well, it looks like the focus is pretty keen right now. 1.4-second lead from Pato Award. Coming up on 70 laps complete here at the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama.
Today's race is brought to you by Coors Light, the official beer of the NTT IndyCar Series. BorgWarner, official turbochargers of the NTT IndyCar Series. Racing Optics, the official aero screen and helmet tear-off of the NTT IndyCar Series. Safety Clean, official environmental service partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. And by Speedway, official fuel and convenience store of IndyCar.
Pretty good battle going on for the sixth position. It started in front of Nick Yeoman.
Yeah, I think the phrase to describe how Colton Herta has driven today is like his hair is on fire. He just about made a pass to get into the sixth position on Scott McLaughlin. Been trying to set him up multiple times over the last several laps. Got to the inside with a strong charge. Just about drew even. But, Jake, it may just be a matter of time as they come by the front straightaway here. McLaughlin just two car lengths on Colton Herta in seven.
Colton Herta has been like a warm knife through butter of this field for the last 25 or so circuits. And Scott McLaughlin was the latest one. You had to wonder whether or not he was going to be able to get him between turns 8 and 9 last time by. Nick wasn't able to do it, but Colton Herta is all over the rear wing of Scott McLaughlin.
And McLaughlin's starting to move around, starting to take away that inside line, so Herta can't charge, but he is right there. It's about a car length, Jake, as they snake their way out of turn 7.
So this time they're going to take another look at it. Will Power is the one in front of Scott McLaughlin. If Power has an issue, Herta might be able to pounce all over McLaughlin. Now, all of a sudden, Herta's going to pop to the outside at the bottom of turn number 9. He takes a look to the outside, but he's going to go right in the tire tracks, exactly where McLaughlin goes. Scott McLaughlin, a car length ahead of Colton Herta.
Short little straightaway is where oftentimes drivers can set up a pass. Not able to do it this time, although McLaughlin wiggles a little bit off of turn number 12. That allows Colton Herta to close the gap ever so slightly. Again, this is the battle. It's a good one. It's the battle for the sixth position, and McLaughlin continues to hold on to it. As we see him come down the straightaway, Michael Young, by the time they get to you, it may look like one car off the apex of turn 1.
Indeed, Scott McLaughlin changing his line in turn number 3. Colton Herta tries to look to the inside. He'll put his nose there, but Scott McLaughlin will close the door. McLaughlin with a good run out of turn number 4, two car lengths for him.
These drivers carry so much speed down into turn number 5. You're going downhill. It's awful tough to get it wowed up. So as that battle continues to charge, Colton Herta right on the gearbox, Jake, looking the way to get around Scott McLaughlin.
Boy, he is absolutely now Colton Herta trying to get in on Scott McLaughlin again. Going to try to pop to the outside. But McLaughlin holds him off in turn number 9. They work down that long sweep to the bottom of the hill. Colton Herta has just enough inertia. Tries to go to the outside. McLaughlin again closes the door between 10 and 11. But they are magnetized to one another.
No question. Scott McLaughlin is making the elbows plenty wide every time Colton Herta gets a run off a corner. Colton Herta, no doubt, is breaking a little bit later, which allows him to close the gap. They are chasing Scott Dixon and Will Power. That's a decent battle in the battle for the fourth position, but our attention is drawn to the battle for sixth. Scott McLaughlin and Colton Herta off at turn number 1.
Scott McLaughlin actually closing in on Will Power. This time, Scott McLaughlin will sweep through turn number 3. Really closes that door. Will not allow Colton Herta to get that run to the outside. Colton Herta tries to pop out. Closes it down to a car length.
Will Power is going to take a late charge underneath Scott Dixon. Dixon's going to let him go. Meanwhile, Herta tried the inside move underneath McLaughlin. He spun out. He's going to try to do a 360. Might have only lost a couple spots. He'll try to grab gears. Alexander Rossi's charging behind, but a failed pass attempt down here in Charlotte's Web for Colton Herta.
And it looks like Simon Pagenaud is going to be the car that's not able to capitalize on that, but Alexander Rossi now is Herta is trying to get back up to speed, does get past Colton Herta, so put Rossi one spot back up in front of Colton Herta. That puts Rossi at 9th, Herta at 10th, Simon Pagenaud at 11th.
Davey's second straight race. We've seen maybe Colton Herta get a little overly aggressive at the end of a race.
Well, wait, right here, I'll just tell you, he's been on fire today. I mean, he is not letting anything. He's moving cars out of the way. He's being super aggressive, probably frustrated. He just drove in so deep and really just didn't have the line. He actually hit McLaughlin with right front to left rear. That means he wasn't up on it enough. Ends up spinning himself out, but fortunately kept the car going. Lost some positions, but not a lot.
No, that was the huge part about it, Davey. What a great piece of driving to hold on to that thing and be able to keep it running, get it going in the right direction, and minimize the damage. I mean, he only fell back to the 10th position.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, lost a couple positions, but yeah, just super aggressive. He's going back. Rossi was one of those cars to get by him, teammate of his. He's going to go after him, too. He'll move him right out of the way. I think he'll probably end up making another spot back, at least get that thing back into top. Well, he's in the top 10, get it back in ninth place.
And prior to that move, a very impressive run by Will Power. He made a strong move to get his way around Scott Dixon into fourth.
Yeah, and the difference with the two passes was Power was able to get side by side with Scott Dixon down into turn five. So, you know, he was there. Scott knew he was there. Had to move out to where when Colton did it and Scott, McLaughlin just, it was right front to left rear. Just didn't have quiet enough. But he gave it all he had. He's driving. I like the he's driving with his hair on fire. Well, he's definitely driving, I think, with everything on fire. He is flat out getting it around here.
Tatiana Calderon, Dalton Kellett, Michael Young, they have some front runners stacked up behind them.
Now, Will Power was just able to maneuver his way around Calderon, I should say, Kellett, and Scott Dixon tried to get around him as well, Nick.
Yep, Scott Dixon will go to the inside. Meanwhile, Graham Rahal and Scott McLaughlin, they are not only battling for the sixth spot, but they're trying to navigate that lap traffic. Rahal's got a nice charge shake. He goes side-by-side with McLaughlin down the straightaway.
Boy, you're not kidding when you say side-by-side as they work their way now into turn number eight. We're going to see how this one forms itself out. Right now, it does so with McLaughlin into turn number nine, holding off Graham Rahal, but perhaps it's only momentarily. Things got very, very tight between the two of them through turn number nine.
77 laps complete next time by. I think you're overdue for a full field rundown. Pottawa Ward is you leader by 1.8 seconds over Alex Below. Then it's Rinus VK, Will Power, and Scott Dixon, the top five. Then it's McLaughlin, then it's Rahal, then it's Grosjean, then it's Rossi. Herta is 10th, Pagano 11th, Erickson is 12th, Newgarden is 13th, Sato is 14th, Rosenquist is 15th, Lundgaard is 16th, DeFrancesco is 17th, 18th is Harvey, 19th is Daly, 20 is Malukas. Then it's 21st, Castroneves, 22nd, Kirkwood, 23rd, Kellett, 24th, Johnson, Calderon, 25th, Eilat, 26th, and Nick Yeoman. Before long, you'll see Herta again trying to minimize the damage. He'll take on Alexander Rossi to turn five.
Yep, he's going to try to challenge him down into this corner. Not quite there. He's wedged in between a pair of pink cars. It's Rossi right now holding down that ninth position. About three car lengths back is Herta in 10th. Then it's Simon Pagano just outside of that top 10.
Rossi is one of those cars that all day long just seems like he draws like a magnet towards traffic around him. Right now running in the ninth position. As you mentioned, it's Colton Herta just behind him. Then behind Herta, it's Pagano and Erickson.
Well, there's no question, Davey Hamilton, since Will Power was able to work his way around Scott Dixon, he's opened up a gap of almost 2 seconds. Will Power has a fast race car, too.
Man, does he ever have a fast race car? We continue to talk about that trio of Pagano, Dixon, and Power, guys in the back of the field, starting in the back, fighting their way to the front. And, man, Power looking strong right now. The bad news for Will Power finds himself in fourth once he got by Dixon. But, unfortunately, he's 6 seconds behind the next car. That's VK in that third position. And with only 12 laps left, actually, Mark, I don't think there's near enough time for him to catch him.
Tatiana Calderon swings way to the high side through two and three, giving those top 10 drivers plenty of room to roam. And Davey Hamilton, she's going to score some points with her competitors if she races cleanly like that, gives them some room to get by.
Yeah, unfortunately, she's two laps down right now, Mark, just not having the day she would like. But, you know, she's a rookie with this series. She's learning how difficult this series is. And, by the way, it's super physical. I know that after the first race she ran, you know, she spent a lot of time in the simulators and in the gym just to try to get the strength up for these road courses.
Well, Graham Rahal is in a pretty good battle. They're trying to track down Scott McLaughlin. Roman Grosjean and Graham Rahal, that is the battle for the seventh position. It works his way off of turn number 17. Dixon, McLaughlin, Rahal, Grosjean. They head to Michael Young.
Yeah, Scott McLaughlin has been battling all day long, keeping whomever behind him. Graham Rahal swings wide now. That may open the door for Romain Grosjean. So the battle for 6th, 7th, and 8th exits turn 4.
And we see Will Power already through turn 5 and 6, followed by Scott Dixon. And then it is that gaggle of cars. McLaughlin by about a half a car length on Graham Rahal. Rahal's got a strong charge. Jake, he's going to pull even. Graham Rahal looking for 6th.
So Graham Rahal now is going to try to work alongside. But again, McLaughlin entering in to turn number 8 is going to be able to close that door. So Scott McLaughlin holds on to that spot for now. Rahal is right there behind him. But Romain Grosjean is getting a very good look, Mark, at this battle.
Seen a couple of times now, Davey. Scott McLaughlin makes his elbows plenty wide for drivers who want to go around him.
Well, he's doing what he has to right now. Obviously, that car is not to his exact liking. Moving around a little bit, just not the speed that he'd like to have. And he's doing all he can to try to salvage that 6th place that he's in. But boy, he does. As you said, the elbows are wide. He's used up every bit of real estate to try to keep Rahal behind him.
McLaughlin, Rahal, Grosjean, that continues to be a pretty good battle. Those three head to Michael Young.
Yeah, Scott McLaughlin's ever so slightly closing in on Scott Dixon, but the pressure still. Graham Rahal and Scott McLaughlin. Grosjean not really there this time through turn number 3 and 4. They both, all three, actually get a nice run out of turn number 4.
No change up front with 10 laps to go between O'Ward and Pillow, but we continue to watch this battle for 6th. Graham Rahal's taking a wide arc through Charlotte's Web, through 5 and 6, trying to carry a lot of speed. Still not able to draw back onto McLaughlin there for that spot, though, Jake.
Setting up for turn number 8, Rahal tried to swing it just a little bit wide to see if he could perhaps narrow down the angle on McLaughlin. Not able to do it, so Scott McLaughlin holds on to that 6th spot. Then it's Graham Rahal, and about 2 car lengths back before you get to Romain Grosjean. They have safely distanced themselves now from Alexander Rossi.
81 laps complete next time by O'Ward, Pillow, VK, Power, Dixon, the top 5 of the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. We pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the IndyCar Radio Network. Scott Dixon, running in 5th, was comfortable for a while, but Davey, not so much anymore. That McLaughlin-Rahal battle has started to close on him.
Yeah, sure has. Dixon's losing ground to both of those cars. Really is a 4-car battle. Dixon leading that 4-car battle. McLaughlin second right behind him, then Rahal, then Grosjean. That's the best race that's on the track right now. And with 7 laps to go, Dixon has all he can handle to try to stay in front of him.
It's right in front of you, Michael Young.
Yeah, Kyle Kirkwood just came to pit lane for the final time. He will be the first lapped car that they will have to pick off. It's Scott Dixon about 5 car lengths ahead of Scott McLaughlin. That's the battle for 6th and 5th.
Yeah, again, this is 5th through 8th. Dixon, McLaughlin, Rahal, and Grosjean. Graham, again, moves to the outside. He's finally got a good charge. He gets to that left rear tire of Scott McLaughlin. Jake, is he able to get around him and take away that 6th spot?
Well, they've got Scott Dixon just in front of him. And again, McLaughlin shuts that door as they work their way into turn number 9. So funny, because for a long time there, seemed like McLaughlin was like on roller skates on ice trying to hold off Rahal. Then he had Dixon within sight. But again, McLaughlin has Rahal knocking on the door. He holds off that 15 car.
At that battle between McLaughlin and Rahal, the fact that they had to lift ever so slightly was all that Scott Dixon needed to gain a bit of an advantage. So in front of them, it's O'Ward, Pillow, VK, Will Power, the top 4. Those guys are all pretty comfortable. You go a ways back, then it's Dixon, McLaughlin, Rahal, Grosjean into turn number 1.
Yeah, Scott Dixon still about 3 car lengths over Scott McLaughlin. The battle really is for that 6th position. Graham Rahal will swing to driver's left. That will open the door for Romain Grosjean. 6th, 7th, and 8th make their way to Charlotte's Web.
And to borrow one of my favorite Jake Query phrases, it's kind of like that rubber band, right, Jake? It stretches out, then it pulls back. That's kind of how this battle has been. Again, Rahal back on the rear wing of Scott McLaughlin. Not close enough, though, to get alongside.
Yeah, it's absolutely been that way every single time this area of the race track, because McLaughlin, all of a sudden, it looks like Rahal's going to get him into turn number 9, and then McLaughlin's able to close that door, extend just a little bit as they work their way into turn number 10.
So, Davey, they all last pitted around lap 60 or 61. Dixon's on black, McLaughlin's on black, Rahal, Grosjean on reds. Anybody have an advantage as a result of that?
Well, I'm going to tell you where the disadvantage is going to be, Mark, and that is push to pass. Graham Rahal has 0 left. McLaughlin has 54 seconds left. Grosjean behind Graham has 24 left. So right now, the sitting Ducks is really Herta trying to get around Rossi. Probably going to be almost impossible with Rossi having 47 seconds left to push a pass. Colton Herta having zero. And then right behind Herta, Pagano with 75 seconds. So it probably more than important than the tire wear is those push to passes down these straightaways.
Starters lean out of the flag stand and indicate to the drivers there are five to go. So let's give you the top 10. Award, Pelot, VK, Power, and Dixon. McLaughlin, Rahal, Grosjean, Rossi, and Herta the top 10. Pagano, Erickson, Sato, Newgarden, and Lundgaard through 15th. Rosaquist, DeFrancesco, Harvey, Daly, and David Malukas through 20th. Elio Castroneves, 21st. Kyle Kirkwood, a lap down in 22nd. Same for Kellett, 23rd. Jimmy Johnson, 24th. Two laps down, Tatiana Calderon in 25th. And Callum Ilott, 26th. Davey, a little surprised that we find guys like Elio Castroneves and Jack Harvey, Rosenquist and Lundgaard, Joseph Newgarden, for instance, 14. I guess I jinxed Joseph Newgarden when I picked him to win when nobody else did.
Well, it just didn't work out for me. Just the car is just not there. I don't think the Penske cars have the speed, although McLaughlin's in that sixth position. As you can see, he is not, it's not the happy as he'd like to have it. It's moving around quite a bit. Castroneves just, I think, just didn't have it today either. I mean, the car just didn't seem to be to his liking, had a few bad luck things happen to him as well. Finds himself way back in that 21st position. A bit surprising. And another one, Rosenquist started up in that top five, if I recall. Yeah, and finds himself in 16th. Don't know exactly what happened to him on track, but not the day that he won. And same with Connor Daly. He's 19th. His teammate's leading it right now. So Connor must have had a little bit of different setup than his teammate.
Grosjean and Rahal, Davey, they're still not playing nice. Those guys are still laying on one another, and Graham Rahal continues to have the spot.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they are working hard. That is the best race on the track. They are absolutely nose to tail. We see Grosjean right now just following Rahal, just trying to do all he can down there in that turn 15, 16 area. Matter of fact, big contact between Graham Rahal and Grosjean as well. Neither one of them lifted, but I mean, big contact, not once, but looks like maybe twice. So they're fighting each other hard to try to get that spot.
And fighting each other in front of Michael Young.
That's a battle for that seventh position. Graham Rahal able to hold off Romain Grosjean. Romain getting aggressive again. Slight wiggle on that front end as he exits turn number three. Drag racing down to Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, I'm glad Davey pointed out the wheel banging. From my perspective, I couldn't tell. It looked like both those cars hiccuped just a bit a lap ago, and that was definitely because there was contact. Rahal, though, is going to keep Grosjean at bay and continue to keep his sights, Jake, on Scott McLaughlin in that sixth spot.
And again, McLaughlin entering into turn number nine has Rahal look every which way he can. McLaughlin is again able to hold him off, working through turn number nine. Then Grosjean slings back in on the rear of Rahal. So Graham Rahal has tried to worry about Scott McLaughlin, but he's got Romain Grosjean just behind him trying to take that seventh spot from Graham.
We're watching these guys battle it out on the backstretch. Well, Michael Young, you see the leader into turn number two.
Yeah, Padua Ward now makes his way through turn number three. It looks like Alex Palou giving it all he has, but Nick Yeoman, Padua Ward, about a 10-car length lead going into Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, it's kind of stayed 8 to 10 car lengths over the last 10 laps. You're just waiting. If Padua Ward were to just bobble once, Alex Palou would be right there. But Jake, a driver of that orange and black Arrow McLaren SB Chevrolet, has been perfect today with a lap and a half to go.
Took the lead from Renus VK coming out of the pits. Did Padua Ward? He has not missed a mark since. Padua Ward now with about an 8-car length advantage over Alex Palou. A sizable gap back before the third place running, Renus VK.
And next time by your leader, Padua Ward is going to see the white flag in the hands of the starter. Alex Palou is 1.5 seconds behind. Then it's about a 10.5 second gap back to third place running Renus VK, who will always wonder what might have been if it not been for a bobble on that last pit stop. White flag is in the air, and Michael Young, your leader, the talented Padua Ward, making headlines outside of motorsports, I guess, or off the racetrack, we should say, is going to quiet a lot of the critics and a lot of the skeptics.
That's been, like, seems forever since he played in the Fountain at Belle Isle just 1 year ago. That was his last victory. Nick, he's already cruising through Charlotte's Web. What a run for that young man today.
Been a dominant season for Team Chevy. It was Team Penske winning the first three races. Looks like Chevrolet's going to get another one. But, Jake, it might be Pato O'Ward. He's half a lap away.
It could be a podium of the promise of the future of IndyCar. Pato O'Ward, Alex Palou, and Rinus VK running 1, 2, and 3. Pato O'Ward with an 8-car length advantage over Alex Palou as he works his way out of turn number 11.
And, Davey, you remember a couple of years ago, his future was very uncertain, but Arrows McLaren put him in the cockpit, and, boy, he's done a great job since.
Yeah, a lot of risk in Pato's career, thinking that maybe he turned down some offers from Andretti Autosport, some other teams, and I thought, man, he's going to end up with nothing, but look at this. He's going to end up with another victory is what he's going to end up with, that Arrow McLaren team.
Quinn Checker's out, and he'll go to victory lane. Pato O'Ward with a late charge takes over the lead. Late, we should say. He wins the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. Alex Palou finishes second. Rinus VK finishes third. Will Power Scott Dixon complete the top five? Pato O'Ward wins the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. Alex Palou was second. Rinus VK third. Will Power was fourth. Scott Dixon was fifth. Scott McLaughlin sixth. Roman Grosjean seventh. Graham Rahal was eighth. Alexander Rossi ninth. Colton Herta 10th, Simon Pagenaud 11th, Erickson 12th, 13th Sato, 14th Newgarden, 15th Lundgaard, 16th Rosenquist, 17th DeFrancesco, 18th Harvey, 19th Daly, 20th Malukas, 21st Elio Castroneves, Kyle Kirkwood 22nd, Dalton Kellett 23rd, Jimmy Johnson 24th, Callum Ilott 25th, and Tatiana Calderon 26th. There were two cautions today for three laps, four leaders and five lead changes. Rinus VK led 57 laps. Pato O'Ward, 27. Alex Palou led 4. Joseph Newgarden led 2 laps. Those moving up on the day, Will Power, plus 15. Simon Pagenaud, plus 13. Scott Dixon, plus 8. Takuma Sato picked up 4 positions on the day. And Devlin DeFrancesco, plus 3. Let's start to hear from some of the podium today. Let's start with Ryan Marine.
It's a big hug with the crew for Alex Palou, the winner here just 1 year ago. That's where he won his first career NTT IndyCar Series race with the American Legion on the race car here this weekend. Just getting some more congratulations. Alex, it's not the win like it was last year, but you will leave Barber as the points leader like you did last year. How does that feel?
Feels amazing. Yeah, we had a beautiful day here. Lots of fans today. It was awesome to see now on the in-lap. But yeah, the number 10 American Legion car was really fast all weekend. We were pushing Pato as much as possible to try and get him at the end. But yeah, he was really fast today. Congrats to him on the first win of the year. It was a good weekend for us. So yeah, really happy. And we'll be back next year.
Take it through the strategy that got you the track position late in the race. You stayed out longer than anyone prior to that final pit stop. Was that the difference?
Yeah, I mean, we were saving fuel during the second stint to try and do that. It was tough to pass today on track. So yeah, that was the only option we had. We made it work, almost made it work fully. So really happy. The team did an amazing job on strategies and the setup as well. So
congratulations on a good run. Chip Ganassi coming to give Alex Palou a big fist bump. 4 races into the season, 3 podiums, and now the points lead once again for the reigning series champion.
Looks like a handful of guys, Davey, made a cut a little close on fuel. They're having to take a long walk back, huh?
Yeah, I see Rossi, Lundgaard, and Rahal walking. I thought, did they crash? What happened out there? But obviously, they just ran out of fuel. They're talking and laughing, so it's all good. They're walking up pit lane right now. But, man, they cut it right to the end. What a great race that group put on, though.
Third place, Rinus VK, Ryan Marine.
Yeah, he was the pole sitter. It's the 4th career podium in the NTT IndyCar Series. And for the first 2/3 of this race, Rinus, it was looking like it might have been a second career win. Where did this one go awry for you guys?
Yeah, it was going really good so far. We were saving good fuel. We were fast while saving fuel. And then, that last pit stop, it was a race out of pit lane. And I was a little too conservative on the brakes into 5. And that's where he got me. And we kind of lost some time. And then Palou got ahead of us. So very unfortunate. But, I think normally I should be the happiest guy on earth with a podium, but now I'm, it's bittersweet.
Well, we'll see you at the next one. Congratulations on a strong run.
Thank you.
Mark?
Let's go to victory lane.
Pato O'Ward getting a hug and a handshake from Taylor Kyle. Pato, you hung around there all day long. You got to that final pit stop, and if there was any doubt that racing wasn't a team sport, you answered it right there. Great in-lap and out-lap. Pit crew with a great stop in the middle, and you were able to get VK. Take us through that whole run on that pit stop and then afterwards.
It was a race of patience, man. We had a great first stint, great second stint. I think it was tricky to see how much these tires were going to last, depending on reds or blacks. We were hitting some pretty big fuel numbers, so there was a lot of factors playing into how much pace we could actually push for. So I knew the opportunity was going to be right when we were on his gearbox exiting for the final stint. And, yeah, once we got in front of him, we just cruised to the win, I guess. It was just very comfortable, and this car has been awesome all weekend. We just missed pole, and we got the job done today.
You talk about hitting those numbers. It seemed for you like it was a race of controlled aggression. Taylor was telling you to manage the gap, to manage the fuel number, and then when it came time to push, you had plenty left.
Yeah, because usually, man, if you push through the whole race in a triple stint, which I did last year, man, this place is physical. It was physical today, but it was quite a bit better than what last year was, because that little extra that you have to give whenever you don't really have to save fuel, it for sure, you feel it after the race. So, just great job by all the boys. The guys were great in the pit stops, and I think we put ourselves in a great position for the starting of the month of May.
Well, you certainly did, with a lot of points and a lot of prestige. And lastly, it seemed like those first two races, there was a lot of outside noise, but it obviously was just that, outside. You had the top five at Long Beach, like you said, fast off the truck all weekend here, and you touched on it, just peaking at the right time with the big one coming up at the Speedway in 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see all the fans out at that 500, because I've never gotten to experience a 500 with full capacity, so I'm super pumped for that.
Certainly pumped for that, and congratulations on the win. We'll see you in a couple of weeks at the GP.
And joined now by Will Power post-race. You started 19th, you finished 4th. Everyone's been telling me it's hard to pass around this place today. So how did you do it?
Strategy and passing cars, basically. Good restarts. And a really good car at the end there, able to pass a few people. And great day, man. I would never have expected to get up to 4th, but I was hoping a top 10. So that's every race this year in the top 4. Four races, pretty solid.
Consistency, like you said, every race, 4th or better, has been the result so far. Looking for that win, but that said, is this enough, this kind of performance, to make you think you've got a chance for the championship?
Definitely, yep, definitely. Just got to do this every weekend, and can't have these glitches in qualifying, because it really makes things hard, because we could have fought for the win today instead of just 4th.
And, of course, up next, a place that's been pretty good to you in the past, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. First the road course, then the oval. How primed are you for the month of May?
Yeah, looking forward to it. My favorite road course, and obviously the biggest race of the year. So the team's done a lot of work, man, so we're hoping it all pays off.
We'll see you there.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's Will Power, P4 today.
And that's a pretty impressive statistic, Davey. Will Power in the top 4 in all 4 races to start the season.
Yeah, how about that? Top 4, the in perspective, he's been the top 4 in all the races this year. He's 4th in points as well, Mark. I mean, so that's pretty, you know, it shows how difficult that this series is when he's got really consistent of 4th all the time and still 10 points back out of the championship in 4th. So Pelot jumps to the lead, though. That's impressive, I think, that without a win, but leading the points championship.
We talked a little bit, Davey, to Kyle Moyer when we were at the two-day test at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and he said they focused on the things that they felt like they did wrong in the offseason, talking about Penske Racing, and those were all that they focused on during the offseason, and they felt like that they got all those problems solved, had answers for all of them, and I think the first few races of the season bear that out.
Yeah, it really bears that. It sure does, Mark. It really proves that. You got to remember last year's Indy 500, what a disaster for Will Power, barely making that race. I mean, mean, he was one of the cars going out there on that last day, really wondering if he was even going to be, you know, in the Indy 500. So they look good in practice. As a matter of fact, Joseph Newgarden, his teammate, was P1 after the test was all completed and over with. So they're going back there with a lot of confidence.
Points stay tight, Davey. Alex Below is now vaulted to the lead, and he leads it by 3 over McLaughlin. Newgarden falls for the points lead down to 3rd based upon his 14th place finish, but he's just 9 points back. Will Power, a model of consistency, is in 4th, just 10 points back, and this win puts Pato Award within striking distance. He's in the top 5 as well. He is 30 points back.
Yeah, and then how about don't stop there, Scott Dixon. You know, haven't talked about him a lot this year, Mark, just not having the year that he normally starts off with having, but just being able to finish, finds himself in that 6th spot, only 31 points back. And Rinus VK, you know, not the win that he thought that he's going to have today, still finds himself 7th in the points championship, Mark.
Well, and Davey, I think most importantly for these guys that are, you know, things have tightened up near the top of the points, certainly I would go, gosh, all the way back to 8th place, and that's Romain Grosjean. He's only 43 points back, Davey, but even the guys that are, you know, 60 points back, there's a ton of points up for grabs in the month of May between the GMR IndyCar Grand Prix, the Indianapolis 500, and certainly the points that will be awarded for qualifying.
Yeah, so, you know, points are so early on, and you could really gain or lose a lot in the championship this early on. For example, we talk about Rossi. He didn't have a great day. He started off good. He ended up 9th. He did get a top 10, so you do take that. Trust me, that's good. But he moved up 5 positions in the points. He's only 82 points out right now in that 13th spot. So you can really make some, when it's low points like this, you can really make some points up or, like I say, lose them. And right now, you know, Colton Herta in that 11th spot, but we've seen how fast he is in all the races this year. So you never know where he's going to end up as well.
Reports all day from Pit Road, being brought to you by Speedway, the official fuel and convenience store of IndyCar. We'll have some final thoughts, maybe another interview or two when we come back to Barber Motorsports Park. Pretty busy last 20 laps or so for Graham Rahal. Well, all day was busy for Graham Rahal. He's rewarded with an 8th place finish, Alex Wolf.
Graham Rahal ends up 8th in some tough battling with Alexander Rossi there late in the race. You guys had a conversation. How did that conversation go and what was set?
No, it wasn't Rossi. It was Grosjean. Rossi and I had no problems at all. He was clean, and you know, we were able to get by him. He was on blacks hanging on, and you know, good racing with him. Good racing with Colton. Good racing with Scotty. Good racing with a lot. Just one particular guy, not so clean. And, you know, that's just we're going to have a little sit-down, a little conversation about what the hell is going on here.
That's right, the 8th place run. The meat in that Andretti sandwich. What kind of a conversation do you have with him in the next couple of weeks? Does it happen when you get to Indianapolis, or does it happen right here in the post-mortem?
Well, I think the drivers need to get together, all of us, because I'm not the only one who's got a problem. You know, I think it's quite a significant amount of drivers that have had run-ins with this guy. And as I said on TV a second ago, you know, when the roles are reversed, officiating better be consistent. That's all I'll say, because it's going to be reversed at some stage. And you know, I'm not going to play nice. You know, this guy's overstayed his welcome.
Well, an 8th place run, a little bit of momentum with the top 10 going into May. Thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited. May's coming up. Well, May's now, I guess, right? So, you know, our cars are getting better. Momentum's in the right direction. We'll be just fine.
Graham Rahal, top 10 here today at Barber.
Yep, good stuff, Alex Wolf. And that is a different Graham Rahal. I mean, no question. He's, you know, plenty heated and plenty direct, Davey, in his comments and opinions of Romain Grosjean. But, boy, I tell you what, he handled that a lot differently than he might have 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, you know, and I'll have to say, you know, I think Roman's a fantastic race driver. I like him. He comes over here with a lot of talent. But Graham's right. I mean, he's made a lot of mistakes. He's rubbed a lot of feathers wrong. I think he came over here with and got in these cars and got maybe a little too much confidence, thinking like, well, I'm better than these guys. And he's not better than these guys. He's as good as these guys. And so you got to play fair. What comes around goes around. And I have to agree with, I really do agree with Graham, is you don't want to be beat up out there. These cars aren't made to touch and bang and beat. This is proper, you know, flat out racing, but you got to take care of each other. And as you go through any weekend, I go back through every weekend this year, and the mistakes made way before the race even starts by Roman needs to change. I mean, he goes off track more than everybody. He's had a lot of contact before the race starts, and then when the race happens. So, like I said, I like him. I'm glad he's here, but I do agree with Graham. I mean, you got to settle him down.
Got to take a look at the Manufacturers Championship, Davey. A Chevrolet plenty stout this weekend. They grab first, they grab third, they grab fourth, and they grab sixth. And Chevrolet currently leads Honda 365 to 283 heading into the all-important month of May at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Well, that, Mark, it seems like a lot early on, doesn't it? But you know how fast that could change. I mean, there's a lot of points to be made in May with the road race and obviously the Indianapolis 500. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, that's going to be another battle. Along with these drivers, who's going to win this championship, who knows? But and the same with the manufacturers.
Padua Ward picks up the win. Alex Below, Rinus VK, Will Power, and Scott Dixon, the top five. This broadcast of the Honda Grand Prix of Alabama at Barber Motorsports Park has been brought to you by Firestone, the official tire of the NTT IndyCar Series for driving IndyCar legends. American Medical Response, official partner of the NTT IndyCar Series and the AMR IndyCar Safety Team. Speedway, official fuel and convenience store of IndyCar. Coors Light, cold as the Rockies, Coors Light is proud to be the official beer partner of the IndyCar Series. Coors Light, made to chill. BorgWarner, official turbochargers of the NTT IndyCar Series. By Safety Clean, official environmental service partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. By Ruoff Mortgage, for a fast mortgage process, apply online at ruoff.com. The Children's Foundation, proud sponsor of Racing for Kids. By Hinchman Racing Uniforms, nothing fits like a Hinchman. The Indy Racing Experience, the fastest seat in sports. Racing Optics, the official aero screen and helmet tear-off of the NTT IndyCar Series. And by NTT, official technology and title partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. Our driver analyst today, Davey Hamilton in the turns, Nick Yeoman, Michael Young, and Jake Query in the pits, Ryan Marine and Alex Wolf. Our chief engineer is Rick Evans, satellite support by Scott Burgett. Our producer, Sam Rumza. The network director is Chris Pollack. This is Mark James reminding you to join us in 2 weeks as the NTT IndyCar Series returns to the road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the GMR Grand Prix. Coverage starts at 2:30 on Saturday, May 14th. Between now and then, download today's broadcast or any of our races this year on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or at IndyCarRadio.com.
The preceding was an exclusive copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.